Tomorrow's News Today.
We are in a historical crisis. We need George Washington. We need Abraham Lincoln. We need President Jackson right now, Andrew Jackson. So my only message to Trump is damn the torpedoes. Go straight at them and speak directly to the people and say, look, you elected me to stop the deep state. And you see what we're up against.
In this fight with the deep state, with the globalists, give me, if you were with the president now, say, hey, look, I want to do this in the first week you get back. We're going to try it one more time. That was great to end the year, but I want to really hit the deck place running. What are the two or three things that you tell him? Here's, I think, what we need to do to frame this so people can see it's light and dark. People can see it's good and evil. What do you recommend?
Well, notice even before he got back in, and all the Hollywood movies and all the PR by the Democrats is, he's a dictator. Don't use the military. Oh, he's Hitler. Oh, Border Patrol can't arrest illegals. It's all illegal. Oh, the Seditious Six. They know what Abraham Lincoln and George Washington had to do and Andrew Jackson when people tried this stuff. They know that's the only checkmate to John Brennan and the rest of them that are openly still running this with Obama and all their networks still in the government. The sleeper cells that Trump's dealing with, technical name, Stay Behind Network, folks, look that up. So Hegg says is on the right track. They get a referral on the Seditious Six and on the Senator Kelly. It's not the speech they made. It's who put them up to it. They admit was the Democrats, and they want people not to follow orders and imply they're getting illegal orders ahead of their uprisings. People want to see action, and Trump has to say they've killed our National Guard. They called them terrorists. They got them killed. They're literally with the Islamicists. They have launched their attack. They believe the West is weak. They believe this is the takedown. And as long as he raises the alarm, he has to go directly to the existential war, good versus evil. He has to do it right now. And America needs to know we're in a fight together. We need to have Trump point at us, like Uncle Sam had said, I want you to join the American Republic. I can't do this without you. Then you'll get the lines of people, you know, not just signing up for the military we see happening, but all of it to understand this is 1776 part two. They have to fire the bat signal. He has to get super hardcore. But to the general public, they want to be included in the narrative. They want to be mobilized. If he mobilizes the people, we win. Landslide in 2026. If not, if he just sits there, oh, here's Larry Ellison and here's these people. People don't want to see that. They don't want to see Bill Gates in the White House. No Bill Gates in the White House. You know, none of this stuff. No, he needs to be doing addresses. You know, he cares about 60 Minutes. He cares about stuff with no viewers. He cares about Jimmy Kimmel with no viewers. He went on Elon Musk's show and had, you know, a billion listeners. He goes on your show. It's exciting. 100 million viewers. He needs to be flooding the zone, going back on all the big shows, going on Joe Rogan, going on those programs and talking directly to the people and not then going to CBS and complaining that they edited it. What do you think? It's like, he's like the frog that's swimming across the river and the scorpion says, give me a ride. He goes, well, you're going to steam me to death. He goes, no, I won't. He takes him across. The scorpion stings him. He's dying. He says, why'd you do that? He goes, I'm a scorpion. It's like Trump's snake story. Why is he taking the beautiful snake up to his breast? Trump, you're 79. I respect you. You're way smarter than me in many ways. But let me explain. Barron can explain it. And you know, Steve's old like me, but he knows the numbers. There are medium-sized shows with more viewers than CNN. Stop giving them power. They're dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Dust off your feet. Stop it. Engage with us. Talk directly to us. Write to us and say, I need you, and it's over. That is the Holy Grail. That is the Excalibur. That is the Spear of Destiny. That is what he must do. It all must be directly to us. I need you. I need you. The minute he does that, nothing but victory.
Alex Jones, patriot, hero, and American original. Thank you, sir. Honored to have you on here tonight. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, December 19, 2025. The main transmission starts now, and all hell's breaking loose. We'll be back to join our stations in 60 seconds. Share those live feeds now.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
And gentlemen, it is Friday, December 19th, 2025. And InfoWars, thanks to your prayers, word of mouth, and support, is still here on air and stronger than ever, reaching more people than ever. Absolutely amazing. God bless you all. We're really changing the world together. All right. This Brown University thing from start to finish has been very suspicious. We said, you know, the day after the two students got killed and nine others wounded, that when you saw the MIT head of one of the top black budget free energy, plasma energy systems getting killed, execution style, that this looks suspicious, and then I thought it was connected. I wasn't the only one saying that. I mean, I said we should look at it. Now the fact that we're told, oh, he did it, this individual from Europe, from Portugal, who's been here decades, but when you read the finer statements, they're admitting, no, he's just a suspect. So I hope there's never, you know, some mass shootings or some killings, and I'm missing for a week, and I'm found dead in a storage shed, and they just say, oh, that's it, you know, Alex Jones did it. So, this whole thing is extremely suspicious. We're going to be looking at that. They say he went to school 20 plus years ago for a couple years in that very engineering department. And then he knew the MIT or was in school in Portugal decades ago with the man that became the head of the MIT super secret science department. If you know anything about the statistics on scientists in those areas, advanced technology, free energy, bioweapons, you name it, it's incredible how many of them are executed or murder-suicided or get run over by black vans or disappeared. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So when you have somebody that powerful, that important, look how much Epstein was targeting MIT and Harvard with his sex operations and, you know, payoffs. I mean, it's just there. There are different intelligence agencies and corporations and espionage as thick as thieves in there. But I'm going to table that and move into it a little bit later because we've got a lot to hit there. The big stuff I wanted to plow through is some of the good news. Trump continues to follow through cutting off money to globalists and censorship groups and the NGOs. And if you cut their money off, it's over. That's why before Trump got in with Doge, Democrats would have their big violent rallies. 10,000, 20,000 would show up. 5,000, 10,000 would show up in Austin. Now they have their rallies, 100 show up. Because before they were basically all paid agitators. That's an example of cutting the blood supply off to these guys the taxpayer money. But look at this. This is just one of the things. U.S. suspends $41 billion tech deal with U.K. over online censorship laws. Canada, Europe, New Zealand, Australia. They're all passing stuff that is so draconian, so anti-Western values, it just boggles the mind. And where is America standing up to that? Well, before we had Obama and then Hillary and even she was out of office and then Biden's people lobbying the EU, lobbying the UK to try to project their laws and regulations and lawsuits and fines over here to control us. And that's what this is all about. And that's why they targeted Elon Musk with all the 140 million euro fine. And now they say it may be criminal. And Brazil wants to come after him criminally. If they can get him, they can get us all. They need to shut him up, to shut up X, to shut us up. Because just X being freed up is now forcing all the other tech platforms to back off a lot of their censorship. It's still intense, but not as intense as it was. We see it. And so that's an important beachhead. We'll be getting to that. Also, more details of the bans that they've announced and the legislation's passed the House, but regulatory, Kennedy can do it, saying it is basically child abuse to do these sex surgeries. This is something that you don't have any authorization to do under the medical code, meaning basically it's illegal because anybody can sue you and win instantly now if they continue this garbage. And Europe's already banned it. And also, prison time for people that violate the regulations, pulling all the federal funding out of states to try to continue it, that is just beautiful. But now we have more details of what he announced yesterday, the specific rules. And it's even more hardcore than I thought. So that is really good. And again, I see a lot of people online. It's become quite the issue. Because the left really drives it as a wedge. They have national leftist television, but it's CNN, MSNBC, but almost no one watches that. But the folks with their online podcasts and shows on YouTube and the rest of it have pretty big audiences, you know, millions of viewers. So I see my name pop up every day in the feeds, and I'll click on it and watch some of it, and it's like, one day Jones is mad at Trump. The next day he loves Trump. He's crazy. He's gone nuts. Or they'll run with, oh, Jones has turned on Trump, he's totally done. Then a week later go, oh, look, he's flip-flopped, now he's for Trump. That's all lies. You see the show, you know. I go, this is a really wonderful thing. This is something he can do better. This is somebody bad as administration we need to go after and target. Like when Chip Roy, meant well, thought he was making MTG's bill better. Once he got informed that he was wrong, he pulled his amendment. And I even said, hey, I think Chip Roy's bad. But all the big, you know, top groups that want to ban the transgender garbage wrote this bill. She's had years to write this. It's a beautiful bill. Why are you trying to throw amendments on that'll derail it? It'll actually allow states to continue to operate and do this if they want to. He pulled his amendment. It passed. Now we got it through the Senate. And there's a lot of political pressure on the Senate to do the right thing from the people, but there's all that big lobbying money from big pharma and the big universities and medical centers that want to make all this money with taxpayers paying for mutilating the children. But the point is, we're moving the ball, we're winning the game, and we're putting more points on the board than we've ever done before. So take heart. But when I see Trump going the wrong way, and I've been right every time, I am going to come down, not on him, but on his administration and to everybody, and make as big a noise as I can. And the great news is, they're listening. We're seeing a lot of course correction. And here's a key I'm going to get to here in just a few minutes after I cover Ben Shapiro attacking me. Yes, Trump has close to the lowest poll numbers he's ever had in a wide spectrum of polls, but still oversample Democrats and do some bending and manipulation. But overall, he's a little higher than they say, but still, you can use it as the trend to know, no, people are pissed off at him. For a lot of reasons. Some of them reasonable, some not. You just have to know the alternative. But here's why you need to understand that we're not completely doomed. There are a whole bunch of scientific polls out that we'll be getting to that the Democrats are even in more trouble. You see, just because Trump is near an all-time low from this admin and the last, just a point or two away, the Democrats are even polling lower because, remember, for over a year and a half, they keep breaking records for the lowest polling numbers, and it keeps dropping, and breaking records for the lowest amount of fundraising. So it's like the song Helter Skelter. I'm coming down fast, but I'm miles above you. You see? So the Democratic Party is no longer the dominant party. The Republican Party is now the populist party. It's the blue-collar party. It's the common-sense party. It's the party of the people. It's the party of black people and Hispanics and Asians. The numbers are all defecting over. In time, the Democratic Party won't even be a party anymore in just a few years on its current trajectory. That's why they're so desperate. But we don't want Trump to continue to sink because they've got enough fraud baked in that if he doesn't win by 10, 15 points, depending on the state, they'll be able to override his win and steal it. We're talking about the midterms. And because of the time we're in, everything accelerated, everything compressed, every election here going out will be the most important because the next one will be more important than the last. That's a no-brainer. This 2026, if we're going to continue to get Trump's agenda rammed through, and he's getting a lot more done than he did last time, it's amazing. Sure, we need to have more urgency because the globalists are hopping mad and pulling all the stops, but we have to also look at all the angles and just understand as long as we have the urgency, as long as we educate the public about the real choices they have, a planned globalist economic collapse, Cloward and Piven, social engineering to make us poor so they can control us in their own words, as long as we expose their horrible, evil agendas that are super unpopular and explain, yeah, Trump isn't perfect, but he's what we got. And we can't just hope he gets it all done. We have to get it done at the local and state level and at the cultural level and with our families and friends and just every little thing you do to get healthier, spend more time with your family, pray to God more, plant a garden, go speak with the city council, the county commission, get engaged. Now, the left can sure get out and get engaged because they're getting paid for it one way or another with your tax money. But as populist conservative nationalists, we have to make getting politically involved as important as tailgating for football games. Sure, tailgating's fun. Eat chili and drink beer and hang out with your friends and wonderful. Then go see the game. Look, but we're in a crisis. You have to, quite frankly, obviously, being politically involved and engaged is way more important than tailgating. I'm just saying, imagine if American conservatives and populists were as engaged as much as they are in sports as they are in politics. We've got to get disengaged from all the stuff that doesn't matter at the end of the day and put at least as much energy. Go do your tailgating. I'm just simply saying we're in a crisis, and the left are focused, and they're engaged, and they're not planning on giving up. But they are losing. So we've got all of that news coming up. And then I didn't get much to it yesterday, and I had so much. And now I have all this new stuff today on Islam going into high gear against us and saying they are. And so we're going to be hitting that. And then you can juxtapose the red carpet in Europe, the red carpet in the United States, everywhere in the West, to the Islamics and others. Meanwhile, in places like Minnesota, illegal aliens get triple the welfare that a disabled veteran gets, and now we have the videos. They're the same thing in the UK. We showed them a few weeks ago. They let the gypsies rob caravans. You know, that's what they call it in Europe. Mobile homes, RVs. And the courts actually say, well, it's part of their culture. So, yeah, no charges. You know, just don't do it again. That's like when they rape children, the Muslims. They say, well, it's part of their culture. They didn't know. Got a whole bunch of articles in Europe today where they go, oh, you raped five kids. It's all right. No jail time. Oh, you kidnapped a woman, held her in your... It's okay. It's your culture. It's like in Minnesota. Oh, you raped a bunch of women. Now you kidnapped one and held her for 6 days. Yeah, no jail time. I have the newscast. Rape. But you're a Somali. That's your culture. Enjoy. In fact, you should just bring your 10-year-old daughter out, you know, to them and say, hey, it's your culture, hospitality. You know, like Christians play Christmas carols and, you know, give their neighbors cookies and eggnog if they come over. Well, it's like, hey, let's just give them our daughters. Although they rape boys too. Here, just rape them. We're evil white people. Just rape them, please. I mean, I'm not joking here. This is how evil this is. So, lawsuit filed over Minnesota officials weaponized zoning laws against free camping program for disabled veterans. That's right. Oh, no. We're not going to let, private property area set up an area for disabled veterans and set them up tents. No. Oh, by the way, they just found $9 billion more in stolen money by our precious Somali friends in Minnesota. So now the number is over $25 billion discovered in just the last month. $25 billion. But homeless veterans, you can't sleep in a tent. Remember in the UK, they got the migrant hotels, 4 stars, all of it. And literally, the irony is the homeless vets got caught sleeping under a bush in a rainstorm. And the cops come and say, yeah. And then, can we stay in the hotel? No, you can't. And the magistrates actually said, nope, the migrants get first, always. Nothing for you, everything for them. And you're like, that's horrible, that's mean. That's the whole point. It's called rubbing your face in it. It's called dominating you. What's she going to do? The Muslims in every town over in England march around with machetes and swords. The Shiites have this thing where they cut themselves and they scream and yell at the police. And they march around churches threatening, and they say, if I see anybody with a dog out here, an unclean animal, I'm going to kill it. And the police go, yes, sir. But if you're an old lady, then you just go pray at a Muslim event on the street, or you go pray 1,000 feet from an abortion clinic, just pray silently. The cops come, and they go, get in the back. Get in filth. Because they know it's an invasion. They know it's a takeover. They've been paid off. They're part of the clergy plan. And they've got to break our will because what they're doing is totally outrageous. All right. as predicted, it wasn't hard to predict, Japan, about 12 hours ago, got rid of the yen carry trade. And you may not care about it, but it cares about you. It is going to cause all sorts of craziness. Well, we've got a good idea what it's going to do. Hasn't affected the stock market so far. It's up today. But this is a big, big deal. So I'm going to spend some time on that. AOC says she's taking on J.D. Vance for president. She says she's going to stomp him. Well, I mean, compared to mentally retarded Kamala Harris, she's a rocket scientist. She's probably got like a 85 IQ. Kamala never probably had about a 75. All her degrees were just given to her. She was a literal political sex operative. It wasn't just Willie Brown. It was on record. She just walked around, just blowjobs, banging everybody. She's just literally a hooker and a dumb hooker. And when you get her on benzos and vodka, she's pretty stupid. But, I mean, comparatively, compared to Joe Biden and compared to Kamala Harris, the drug addict whore, AOC, the bartender, the big juicy booty Latina, is actually a rocket scientist. So, I mean, she'd probably be the smartest person on earth in the movie Idiocracy, right? Thought you'd be smart. You smart, huh? Thought your head'd be big. Look like a peanut. We ought to do like a mystery science theater deal. Start watching movies and doing that. Like, I'm going to do that in the future. We're going to have some fun, set it up with a big screen. Watch movies, sit there and commentate during it. Oh, my goodness. All right, let me get serious. Ben Shapiro attacked me and a bunch of other people at TPUSA America Fest yesterday. And I couldn't sleep last night. I got up at 3 a.m. and I've been sent this, so I watched it all. And it was like nails on a chalkboard. I mean, this guy is such a joke. But the reason we're going to spend time on it is it's illustrative of what the establishment right wing's next move is going to be to try to get control of the liberty movement. And that's what he says here. He says, I will tell you what is real. I will tell you what to believe. And then he misrepresents what I stand for, what other people stand for, when it's the complete opposite. He's like, Alex Jones and these people tell you there's no hope, there's nothing you can do, and they'll never give you any specifics of who the bad guys are. Dude, that's all I do is give specifics. The hell are you talking about? With the receipts. Mister, you're a dope if you don't take the shot. I like Fauci. Mister, I hate Trump. Mister, I love these wars. Mister, I love surveillance of the Patriot Act. So we're going to come back with that and then get into all the rest of this. But I got something really exciting. Now, this has got a really obnoxious name. I didn't name it. But in a way, it deserves it. We have an all-time bestseller, Turbo Force, with all these key natural ingredients and compounds that supercharge your energy. And people were blown away by it. It was a bestseller. But there's all the stuff going on in InfoWars and the rest of that. It hasn't been available. Well, I said to them, they said, hey, what do you think of new products should be? This is like a year ago. And I said, something like Turbo Force? And I said, we're already thinking about updating Turbo Force. Is there some even new, better stuff we can do? Back when we came out with Turbo Force 5-6 years ago, it was the best. Now it can be updated. And I said, okay, so here's what we recommend. Well, they went off and did it. And let me tell you, you want to be careful when you take this. We got some B-roll that we can show you. Ultimate power. Need to have Palpatine's picture on it. Unlimited power! Energy and focus, blood flow, and endurance. They got Patriot Punch, is what I like. And we've got Freedom Mango. I am not a mango fan, but this is okay. I'm just being honest with you. I just said, why don't I have a fruit punch flavor? They want another mango. Not being mean to mango lovers. I actually can eat mango, which is not my favorite. Versus like a red cherry, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. But the point, we should have cherry flavor. It is amazing, and this thing is so heavy. It's so concentrated, and there's all these super ingredients in this bad boy. You need to go research what one of these will do. And by the way, all of the forms we have are organic. Okay, that's key. So many of these things out there are synthetic. They don't just not work as well. Some of them can hurt you. Ignites mental clarity and focus. Clean, sustained energy for up to 10 hours. Enhanced blood flow and endurance. Supports daily cognitive function. It's got the L-citrulline, converts to L-arginine. Once absorbed, supporting nitric oxide boost. That's what's in the Turbo Force and stuff like that in the nitric boost. Enhancing circulation, vascularity, and oxygen delivery. And fuels longer workout, sharper focus, quicker recovery. Yeah, I like it for the brain stuff. I'm going to take some here in a minute. L-theanine promotes a relaxed, laser-focused state, no jitters, no anxiety, mental clarity, and stress resistance. Natural caffeine, can't go wrong with that, from Coffee Arabica, 100 milligrams, equivalent of one cup of coffee without the mid-afternoon crash, is all the other stuff in here. Vitamin B12, to help absorb it all, vitamin B6, of super high-quality versions, and some other herbal concentrates. You want this product. It's got a super sexy, I love the art on it. I'm not putting it down. It's just kind of like ultimate power. But I mean, it is amazing. Pre-workout, post-workout, energy, health. It's got it all. Ultimate power. Extra big ass fries. It is available right now, and it funds this operation. Can't wait to get the reviews on this. And we got a new creatine gummies in with the highest quality creatine. Each gummy is your day's allowance of 5 milligrams. All of it available now.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact that it has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I made some money on the dice game. Money on some beer. I picked a lizard up in East Louisiana. Hadn't seen her in a couple of years. I drank a bottle of tequila in the evening when I woke up. I was back on the road. I pushed a straighter rig to Oklahoma with a heavier load. I met a tweaker in the Badlands. I bought some methamphetamine.
Gentlemen, we are back live broadcasting worldwide on this Friday, December 19th, 2025 transmission. All right, let me get into Ben Shapiro. I'm not a talk show host, as all of you know, that gets in these beefs and these dramas and these soap operas. I'm about the issues, I'm about the policies, I'm about the ideas. But Ben Shapiro, for over a decade, has sniped at me and attacked me and lied about me and misrepresented what I stand for, and he just continues to do it. Oh, Alex Jones is ranting and raving. Alex Jones is talking about shadowy confederations and, you know, won't ever tell you, who it is running things. My whole broadcast for 31 years is about explaining the different power blocks
and how the systems work and how they operate. And that's what my reporters do. It's what we all do, and we bring the receipts. Like the UN with the WEF and BlackRock trying to pass the global pandemic treaty to be able to lock us all down, give us four shots. I was right that the shots would erase your immune system. I was right it would cause mass death. Ben Shapiro said, dummies, that's the quote, just take it. You can't spread the virus, and you can't get sick. He put out the same talking point as Rachel Maddow and all of them. He was an ever-Trumper when all the censorship started against me intensely 9 years ago, and we got the platform 6 years ago. He said, well, they're free platforms. You know, it's their business. They can take him off. Though under the law, they're utilities, and they're not supposed to censor. Only take stuff down that's illegal, that violates the law. So he joins the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, all of them supporting myself and many of you being silenced. And they didn't support President Trump on January 6th. They didn't expose the Fed's insurrection. Ben Shapiro is an Israel first. As far as I'm concerned, he ought to be a colonel in the IDF. I don't hate Israel. I don't have a hard-on for Israel. I don't make up stuff about Israel. I got a lot of issues with Israel, and there are different governments that come and go. And I got big issues with the UK, like I just did last segment, Keir Starmer, and big issues with Communist China, and big issues with MERS in Germany, because they're trying to control us over here. They're trying to get involved in our business. Trump just killed a $41 billion tech deal in the UK over the online censorship laws they're trying to project into America. That doesn't mean Trump hates people that are Scottish or Irish or English. Me neither. But we do hate Keir Starmer, who we now know Hillary went years ago and asked the Labor Party to then file complaints against the Republican Party and Trump and his supporters to get the EU to start censoring us. So it's the same thing. And now you got Netanyahu saying, what, a month ago, there's an eight-front war now. America is the eighth front. We've got to get in there. We've got to silence these people that are anti-Semites, blah, blah, blah. And sure, some of those people saying things that aren't true or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can't take their speech away or then everybody loses it. So no, keep your hands off of our free speech, Netanyahu. And that goes for you. To Shapiro, you know, now he's like, oh, I'm free speech. Yeah, I'm against all this deplatforming because it failed to shut down all his competition. People woke up to it, so it's very unpopular to go along with the censorship. But back when he was one of the only people that wasn't getting censored because he was a neocon, he supported it because it directly shut down and censored and debanked not just people that have problems with Israel or question Israel or outright hate Israel, but just people that weren't even involved in that. Because in general, he thinks, well, they're censoring all them, and I'm part of the establishment, and I'm left there. I'll have a bigger audience. And during all that censorship, that's when he got really big, because he was the only thing you could have access to. So he's a little monster. And he denounced Tucker there as well. Well, his audience is tiny now. His company, despite billions in backing by big Texas oil tycoons that are Zionists, he's a joke. And I like the fact that America Fest, TPUSA, had Tucker up there saying what he wanted to say. And Shapiro, great to have them both. But here's the announcement. Ben Shapiro, I challenge you to a debate. I challenge you anywhere, anytime, any place, as long as there is a neutral moderator, and we don't even need a moderator. We can just go at it. I'll, like the Lincoln-Douglas debate, I'll go 10 hours with you, sonny boy. In fact, no moderator needed. Let's just get up here at a podium, and let's just start going after it. And I'm going to eat you alive. And you know what? I predict that Ben Shapiro won't take this challenge. And if it gets raised to him, because I'm going to start beating the drum on this, if he doesn't do it, and I know he won't, he'll say, oh, I'm not going to give him attention. I'm not going to platform him. I'm not going to elevate him. Son, I had a bigger audience than you've ever had when you were in junior high. I have had the biggest hands-down English-speaking program in the world for at least 2 years, 2016, 2017. I am always in the top five English-speaking broadcasters in the world, if you look at all the different numbers. You have never been bigger than me. So I don't want to hear that. It's not about who's bigger. It's just that I've heard what you said about me and others before, other similar crap. Mark Levin wouldn't debate Tucker Carlson saying, my show's bigger and I'm not going to legitimize you. And then said, how dare you threaten my son-in-law? Better not see you in person. Said nothing about your son-in-law. Just made it up. So just keep lying. Keep spewing your garbage. Keep it up, Shapiro. But I challenge you to a debate. Let's go. You talk fast. You look forward and kind of bug your eyes out. And we're supposed to be blown away by your incredible intelligence. On a scale of 1 to 10 as a debater, Shapiro's about a 5. He's got talking points and he talks fast. I'm just going to hit you with your record, and that's why you won't do it. How much money you want to bet that Ben, Mr. Know-It-All Shapiro, will never debate me? Because everything I just said about him is true, and he did. Everything he says about me is a crock of lies. Here's a clip of him yesterday at America Fest. And again, he said more too, but we can analyze each little piece of this. Oh, Jones is talking about nebulous groups. Really? I'm about to play a clip of Klaus Schwab saying he's finally resurfaced that they're afraid of an uprising against the globalists. The globalists call themselves globalists. We have open world government, open BlackRock, open ESGs, open UN treaties. All of this stuff's going on. We have the EU attacking Elon Musk. 140 million euro fines. Trump having to battle. And you're saying, oh, no, there's no globalism. There's no special interest. There's no nothing. I mean, I guess next he'll tell us there's no such thing as an Israel lobby. I mean, to name names on that, AIPAC. All those groups, what, that doesn't exist? No, he doesn't want a populist American people group that stands up as just citizens, as our own citizen union, through free association, demand our liberties and our freedoms, and to stand for ourselves. That's what it's all about. So he calls everybody Hitler or a Nazi, and they cherry pick certain people or groups and then project it onto everybody that didn't Ben Shapiro. And he says in this clip, basically, you get your news from me, you listen to me. And that's the new talking point. Oh, these people are making you pessimistic. These people don't have solutions. These people, oh, like take the shot or don't vote for Trump. Here's Ben Shapiro.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face, without ever positing a solution other than wrecking the system or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not finding solutions. We are merely making problems worse. Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life, none of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. That's because if you truly come to believe that nothing in your life is in your control, you can't even take control of your own life. You despair of your ability to change your own circumstances, and then you fail. And you must not fail.
That is the most amateur gaslighting there is. Alex Jones doesn't give you solutions. Total lie. Alex Jones doesn't bring receipts. Total lie. And you will fail if you listen to him. Don't fail. You're not a failure, are you? Well, then don't listen to him, because you'll actually hear what he has to say. Vague conspiracy theories. No, I don't just criticize what's going on. I expose it, just like we just got that bill passed to ban the transgenderism. Now we got to get through the Senate, just like Kennedy is bringing forward regulations that ban it. I said we got to get Kennedy in to do it, and we're doing it. What are you talking about? All I do is talk about solutions like, hey, silver and gold, all the market evidence shows it's going to go up 100, 200% in the next few years. Now's the time to get in. Didn't tell you to get in the last 14 years because I told you to get out at the top. And then you got in. Boy, is that not a solution? Is that not nailing it? Is that not bringing receipts? Shapiro, it's all I do, son. You don't have intellectual depth. You don't have deep understanding. You read a bunch of talking points you're fed. You go spew them out of your mouth. And everybody goes, oh, what a smart young man. Here's a clip of me 23 years ago. This is a random clip off my local TV show describing what was coming. Did they not bring this? Did they not try this? Oh. This isn't just accurately saying what's happening now. This is telling you what's coming in decades with precision, Shapiro, and all of its evergreen. Go do it.
Yes, there have been oligarchies throughout history, and yes, today in 2002, there is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny. And by creating open borders where there's no national sovereignty and only global bodies that control all the resources, by centralizing and socializing health care, the state becomes God, basically, when it comes to your health. And then by releasing diseases and viruses and plagues upon us, we then basically get shoved.
And we got to find the full clip. We get shoved into these lockdown cities and all of it. It's in there. The point is that we know what we're talking about. I want to hit the economy and some key developments here in a moment. But first, here's a new clip of Klaus Schwab. With Jimmy Dore talking about it, the WEF is co-equal to the UN. It helps write the global regulations they're trying to force on us. This we're naming names, Shapiro. This is what we don't want over us. We don't want the UN, the WEF, Israel, the Russians, the Chinese, the UK, the Canadians. We don't want BlackRock that's coming in, taking control of all the regulations. And Texas sued and won, saying it was racketeering, mafia, trying to take control of our policy or pulling investment funds out of the state. We'll just pull our funds out of you. No, we're naming names. We're filing lawsuits. We're winning. We're winning elections. We're winning the Second Amendment debate. We're winning, winning, winning on every front, exposing the system. And you're the gatekeeper, Shapiro. You're what the establishment never censored. You're what the globalists thought was okay to have out there to have a fake conservative. You are the establishment, Shapiro. You're a wannabe Hollywood idiot. You guys wasting hundreds of millions of dollars trying to make movies so you can be movie stars. Hollywood's been dead for decades. It's over, fool. Try to make your new little Hollywood so you can all act like you're movie executives. You're an idiot. You have no vision. You're a husk. Is that a rant? Yeah, and it's all true, too. And it's teleprompter-free, sweetie pie. Here's Jimmy Dore on the latest bombshell Klaus Schwab developments.
Klaus Schwab is getting worried. His WEF 2030 agenda has been exposed by his own arrogance about having penetrated the cabinets with his WEF puppets like Sunak in the UK, also Trudeau in Canada, and they now fear the masses rising in a revolution against the elitists and the globalists. New World Order. He attacks Brexit and criticizes Trump 2024. They are becoming afraid. So watch this. So now they've been talking openly about having all their WEF little buddies in all the cabinets and all the Western governments.
Yeah, for the stakeholders.
And yes. He said that out loud. Now people know and people are getting upset about it. Well, here's what he says now.
For this reason, what we have seen in the elections in the United States, in the Brexit vote, this anger of people against globalization and against the elites. If you look what's happening in the United States, particularly, you have this anti-system movement. What we are seeing is a revolution against the system. It's dismantling the system, and we see certain elements of this now in the new U.S. administration.
So he say, oh my God, but the people are rising up against the system that we created.
Let's stop here. After our guest leaves us, I'm going to go play the whole clip. There's a lot more and go through it, but just for Ben Shapiro. Ben said, we just want to dismantle it, but don't know what to replace it with. No, you see Trump, what he's doing? It's very specific. That's what we called for. He's doing it. And you're saying, don't dismantle it. And there's Klaus Schwab over there Shapiro, if you listen to him, is always up to date with the very latest globalist talking points. He is their boy. Okay? And look at Netanyahu. He's like, we're going to use Israel as a giant guinea pig place and give everybody forced injections and test all the new drugs in the world. Shapiro loves that. So now you're starting to get it, you see. We just nailed your ass, Shapiro. What are the odds, Shapiro debates me? He's scared he won't. Because he's a coward. Call me. Seriously. I say you fold. There's no way you're going to debate me, Shapiro. Because I'm going to wipe the floor with you. You're going to be crying at the end of it. All right, I wanted to get Kirk Elliott on. Great economist, great sponsor, KEPM.com/gold, to talk about what he predicted they would do, and they did. Japan just got rid today of the yen carry trade. You may not care about that, but it cares about you and what that's going to cause. And there's a bunch of other big developments. Bank of Japan rate hike sparks global market anxiety. Bank of Japan raises interest rates to 30-year high, signals more hikes. Ooh. Bank of Japan lifts rates to 30-year high. The big news is that they may go higher. Data problems and U.S. inflation report will linger for months. So this is a big deal. He also sent me a bunch of other key developments. So let's move quick. I'm going to shut up because I got you on late. I apologize. Dr. Kirk Elliott, as you predicted 2 years ago, silver's almost up 200%, gold. It's just insane. Talk about nailing it. Talk about bringing receipts. Talk about being right. Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Well, we were right on silver, and sadly, for fundamental reasons, which we expected. You know, in January, Alex, we were talking. You said, Kirk, and you always press me for an answer, right? It's like, what's silver going to be by the end of the year? My answer was 67 to 75. You know, 120 to 140 by spring or summer. Today, it's 67.41, right? It exploded up because the yen. I mean, this is where it's like, what does the Japanese yen have anything to do with anything, right? It's like, okay, it's been the hidden source of global liquidity for over 30 years, Alex. So I'm going to explain briefly what the yen carry trade is, and then I'm going to explain the implications that are coming because it's unwinding, right? So since like the 1980s, the yen has had like 0% interest rates. Yet they've been printing tons of yen. It's like we've talked about and educated all of the info warriors out there. It's like when you have inflation, you don't want to lower interest rates because that'll make the inflation worse. Well, they're just printing yen and printing yen and printing yen. And yet they kept 0% interest rates. Why? Why would they do that? They did that because they created this thing called the yen carry trade where companies like BlackRock or JP Morgan or other countries could invest tens of billions of dollars, borrow the yen at zero, an instant arbitrage, like instantly, same day, they could take that $10 billion that they borrowed for 0% and invest it into U.S. treasuries, maybe paying 3% or European treasuries paying 4%, goosing stock markets. It's been the global liquidity arm. It's been the silent liquidity that's caused the global expansion that we've seen over the last 30 years. So
this is how the establishment's been getting its free money.
Yeah, and this is how, okay, the scary thought, this has been a lot of the liquidity behind crypto exploding so much. And it's like, okay.
Why was Japan forced to finally get rid of it? I guess because it had stagnated their economy so bad?
No, because their inflation is so high. I mean, we have 30-year mortgages, right, in America. They have 40 years is like the minimum. Sometimes they have 80-year mortgages. I mean, because their prices in Tokyo are so high, the inflation is so high. How do you slow down inflation? Well, either A, you raise interest rates, or B, you stop printing money. Okay, they're not stopping printing money, but yet they weren't raising interest rates either. So their inflation went through the roof. Now they have to. So Japanese citizens can actually afford to live. They have to raise interest rates because they have flooded the world with so much yen that the rest of the world now doesn't even want it. Right. So how do you attract more foreign capital? You give them a risk to their reward, right? The yen carry trade is unwinding. There's too much debt, too much unsustainability.
Yeah, that was the stagnation. I understand the inflation is the main issue, but also it's, there's like, you have inflation with no growth, basically.
Yeah. Inflation with no growth. That's stagflation. That's what we had during the Carter years. So here's the parallel. What did Reagan have to do to stop the stagflation of Carter? He had to jack up interest rates to like 18%, just like freeze inflation dead in its tracks. Then he started lowering taxes systematically, income taxes, property taxes, corporate taxes, everything. And then he created economic growth that lasted for decades, you know, spanned different presidents. Japan is now at the beginning stages of having to do the same thing. And they signaled it in the first articles that you mentioned, those headlines. This is just the first of many probably rate increases, right? So the yen carry trade is over.
I was about to ask, it's over with this move, but that's even more ominous. But they're saying more.
Oh yeah, they're saying more. So it becomes worse with each rate increase, right? I mean, it's over right now. How could you be worse than it being over?
Okay, we got to go to break. Do 10, 15 more minutes. I think I got another meeting. I only apologize, but I went off on Shapiro. Took longer than I thought because it just makes me sick. But there's a lot of other economic news we're going to hit real fast, too. But what does this signify? Why are all the markets so concerned, saying they're not sure what's going to happen? Why is it so dangerous? Why have I been hearing for decades about if they ever got rid of the yen carry trade, that would just devastate things? Is that really the case? We'll be back in 2 minutes with hour number two, Dr. Kirk Elliott, and then I'm going into all this other news, all the big world developments. There's so much we haven't even gotten into yet, straight ahead. But briefly, Dr. Kirk Elliott, people need to call and get a free consultation. They need to call, and you can also, you know, email and then get a call back. You guys, phones are blowing off the hook. You're the top gold and silver broker in the United States because you've got the best quality, the best prices. It's wholesale every day. It's not rocket science. With the best ratings, the only way you guys can do this is scalability. You're so big. Nobody else can match you. You're hands down the best, and you've got the best analysis. People are crazy if they don't go to kbm.com/gold and then put in their name and number, and you get an email back, a time to talk, and you've also got not just silver and gold, but you've also got the quickest, best, safest, easy ways to roll over financial instruments. What are a few of those you can do?
We can do IRAs. You can do a 401k if you're over 59 and a half and you're currently still working into an IRA denominated in gold. If it's an old 401k, yeah, just roll it over. It's a piece of cake, right? So gold for home or silver for home delivery, storage, or IRAs.
And if people would have rolled over into gold 2 years ago, their retirement would be much bigger now. Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesshow.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man, better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder.
Go to to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A bunch of other financial news that's super important. And look, he's a mild-mannered economist, and you know, but he doesn't put a bunch of bells and whistles on it and freak out like I do. But we're in a crazy world right now. And he agrees with all of Trump's economic policies. They're basically the exact right thing to do from his perspective. All I know is it's a hell of a lot better than the Great Reset, making us poor on purpose. So finishing up with the yon carry trade and then Japan saying they're going to accelerate interest rates, what's that going to do? And then let's get into all this other stuff you sent us, Dr. Elliott.
Well, you think of how much the economy has grown globally, not just here in Europe, everywhere over the last 20 years, right? So 20 trillion of that growth, 20 trillion has come from the yen carry trade. Now, this is not all, right? So that 20 trillion is tied to about 9 other leveraged investment pools, right? Which exceed 50 trillion. So as this starts to unwind, let's just look at treasuries, for example. Treasury basis, $1 to $2 trillion at a 100-to-1 leverage ratio, Alex. So if you have $2 trillion at 100-to-1, well, that's the equivalent of $200 trillion, you know, derivative unwind. This is the unraveling that banks don't want to talk about, right? This is, to me, when you look at this, there's $957 billion in commercial real estate, almost $1 trillion in commercial real estate that came from the yen. Private credit, $3 trillion that came from the yen carry trade. Zero-day options, 51% of the S&P 500 volume, 51% of all the S&P 500. Where does this come from? The yen carry trade. So now that this is over, imagine all those trillions of dollars of liquidity that aren't going to be there. I expect stock market crushing, right? I think it's going to absolutely collapse. Bond market, I think banks start to become very, very illiquid and very, very quickly because they're not just into this borrowed yen at 0%. They leveraged it with derivatives exposure. I mean, the dumbest thing you can do with borrowed money is go into even more leveraged debt. But this is what the global world has done, right? This is what they've done. So now, to me, there's a cause and effect to everything. We've talked a lot about the supply and demand issues, London running out of silver, right? There's nothing. The lease rates have gone up and nobody wants to fund getting metals into London because China wants the Western financial system to break. To me, let's just go one step more kind of big picture like. And that is when things are falling apart, gold and silver are flight for safety. I think the price moves that we're seeing today with silver going up, you know, $1.80 or something already this morning while we're doing the show before we started the show, that is baked into the yen carry trade. And this is just the beginning. Alex, this is not the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the beginning for gold and silver. And I think it's the end of the end for global finance liquidity as we know it. I mean, it's the silent killer.
Well, I'm not a famous economist like you with a you know, great track record of accuracy, but looking at what all the other economists say, and just from what I know, this all just points towards more inflation and more in commodities. So isn't it a no-brainer to say this just adds not just the industrial needs accelerating with silver, but everything else we have with this coming in, it creates beyond a perfect storm. And so will this make you change your forecast for silver going up even more?
Yes, I think it's going to go up even more. I mean, I think it's going to go up substantially more. maybe by a factor of 2 to 3 times more than what I've projected before. And I thought it was going to go to 120 to 140. I think we could get into the low 100s. Like,
by the way, you did nail it. I remember 6 months ago, you said by mid-December, 67 silver. You literally hole-in-oned it. We got Karnak the Magnificent here. Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Well, you know who I have on as frequent guest? Anybody that has integrity and nails it over and over and over again. Birds of a feather fly together. And that's just the way it works. So Kyle Serafin is undoubtedly the biggest FBI whistleblower in history. Because there haven't been that many of them. He's been dead on. He's been a game changer for years. He's gone through hell. They've tried to put him in prison for it. And he just keeps calling it to the day. He said months ago, I think before Christmas, Bongino's gone. Nailed it. He said a week before, I think he'll be gone. I think by the next Friday, he'll announce on Friday he's leaving. He nailed it. Now, he actually had sources. So that's kind of easy to nail it when you have the sources. The point is, they're all calling him now. He's got big scoops on the ongoing Epstein saga. We predicted that when the deadline hit today, they weren't going to release all that stuff. So he's popping in, start of the next hour. Back to somebody that keeps nailing it. And again, the Democrats have 1,000 times more to worry about what's in this stuff than Trump. Then why does the Trump administration keep doing this? Because it embarrasses a bunch of billionaires that are Democrats that are Trump's buddies. And I'm not defending what Trump's done. He is obliquely joining in to this Epstein, Mossad, CIA, MI6 crap. Because Ratcliffe is asking to, and I get national security, all that. But look at Bannon. He's like, yeah, I went and interviewed him. Yeah, he was big in politics. Yeah, I went over there and had meetings and interviews. Big deal. Move on. Steve Bannon ain't screwing 14-year-old girls. I mean, it's just Steve Bannon's a great guy. Trump didn't do anything. So 90-plus thousand files that the Epstein family gives the Democrats, the Republicans sit there, don't even pick through it, don't release the bad stuff on Democrats. And all the Democrats had was 19 files, 19 photos, two of them of Trump at public events with beauty queens from the New York Post. And they recycled, oh, we blacked their faces out, or these victims. I mean, it's a joke, people. Epstein was a socialite. He was at all the big things, all the big meetings, mover and shaker, investments, billions. I'm going to shut up. Back to Kirk Elliott. Closing out on this, Dr. Elliott. Overall, what else should we be looking at in the economy? Obviously, the Democrats have been trying to crash the markets. They're everywhere they have the headlines. 60 Minutes, CNN. Oh, the crash is here. 29, 2.0. It's not worked so far. The stock market's up today, despite the unwinding of the the Japanese John Kerry trade ending. What would we be looking at? And I know it's hard to know right now, but what are the different scenarios that could unfold now with this development in Japan?
Well, you nailed it right before we cut off here. And it's like, okay, what comes next is when global liquidity dries up, governments and central banks all over the world are going to have to go to their own printing press. They still have to run their countries, right? Which they're dead up to their eyeballs. They've been relying on the yen carry trade at 0% to help fund that. They don't have that anymore. So you're going to have Jerome Powell sneaking over to the printing press, pressing the red button, create inflation here. You're going to have the European Central Bank doing the same. You're going to have the Bank of Japan doing the same because they're no longer going to get foreign money coming in to fund everything. You're going to have, I mean, literally every central bank around the world without the yen carry trade offering 0% loans to go elsewhere, they're going to have to resort to their own printing press. Alex, this is global inflationary chaos that's going to cause everything to go up in price that's a tangible asset, but things that are tied on people's money being spent, like the stock market, like the bond market, when people are strapped for capital because inflation is too high, they're going to stop buying things. This is why I think stock market's coming down, why gold and silver are going up.
Now, the only stuff that's going to go up in value is going to be land, food, key infrastructure, gold, silver, copper. But you can't have a bunch of copper, folks. You know, so the point is silver's the way to go. It hasn't had the main moves yet. It's got the most growth baked in, as you predicted 2 years ago. And that's why it's the number one investment in the world, hands down. Gold's like number two. So how much is it overperforming gold right now?
I'll buy at least 2 to 1. I mean, silver's up 135% year to date. Gold's up like 65%. It's more than doubling.
And you'll sell people gold if they want it, but you're telling them don't do that.
Yeah, I would do silver. I mean, when they're both equally as safe, why would I do something at 60% when you can get over 130%?
And you've
right?
got equations to know when you convert and use the silver profits to then go into gold once the real acceleration of gold comes. When is that?
Probably in the first quarter, we're going to start doing that. It's the ratio between gold and silver coupled with newer kind of elements of bank liquidity, right? We found out that the banks do not want to settle metals transactions, which is why London ran out. So we're looking at bank liquidity. We're looking at the ratio between gold and silver. We're looking at people's growth. Some of my clients
that's a big deal. The fact that banks are backing out big gold and silver trades, they know how volatile it is. They're scared it can explode 10-20% even in a day. They don't want to get caught with their pants down. I think that's the biggest indicator yet.
Oh, it's huge. And we know how to beat the banks at their own system, right? So this is why the strategy of locking in profits in silver when they've more than doubled, going into gold, this global financial system, Alex, is going to get worse, not better, which means ultimately gold will start to outperform silver probably in a year to a year and a half. But don't be in it yet. Be in silver because silver is going to explode in value over gold because of the nature of it. It's an industrial and a financial.
I'm up here doing a hard sell because it's like, hey, you're about to jump out of an airplane skydiving? You need a parachute. I mean, you've already got your phones blown off the wall, but it should be, I mean, folks, I mean, I remember a month ago, as you predicted, there'd be little corrections, and it went down a few dollars. Silver people went, oh, look, see, it's over. Jones and Elliott are wrong, and it goes, shoots up $8 more. You know, it's like, folks, the fundamentals are baked in. I've never seen a more sure thing in my life. I've had the enemy, you know, take everything I have financially away, which I don't even care about. As long as I can operate, that's all I care about is operating, being on the air, got a car, a house. But I will beg for money and support, keep this broadcast on air. So just buy the stuff at thealexjonesstore.com. Great supplements, t-shirts, all of it. Great sponsors like this. I mean, lordy, lordy, I'm only going to steer you somewhere that's obviously good. The total proof's there. I'm not asking you to thank me. I'm just saying we're in the fight together. Support our sponsors while you get the very best investment from the highest rated place that sells it wholesale, so you know exactly what you're doing. I like it to go to Hawaii and you go up these cliffs. I won't do the 500 foot ones, but I've jumped off a 100 foot one and it's crystal clear. You see stingrays and turtles down there and you know, and you just watch 20 people jump off ahead of you, so you know it's safe. You don't go up the side of a river somewhere and it's brown water and churning and you don't know if there's rocks down there. I'm not going to jump into brown water from 2 feet up. You know, it's simple, folks. Don't do that. You'll break your neck and break your legs. But if it's a safe place, people are jumping off, you know it's safe. You know, people are doing it in front of you. This is blue water. This is crystal clear. But you don't have to jump off 100 feet to protect yourself. You just got to step into the water. It's like those little pools that have the, you know, tiny edge that goes in where a baby can crawl in, you know. It is so ridiculous that the people perish for lack of knowledge, and it just amazes me that even more people aren't getting into silver because it's such a tiny, tiny amount of it in the world. And then that's all, just like you're revising your estimates that it's going to be even more. I agree with you. What's going to happen is it continues to run out. It could create, I want to predict this, just in general. There could be some mega spikes in unavailability that come where you'll think you get a big drop, but it actually just goes up after that. So, I mean, I think there could be some scares here only because, Dr. Elliott, we can see explosive spikes that are outside the trend. People shouldn't then freak out if it goes down after an explosive spike. What do you call that?
A gift. Because it's a speculative blow off, right? But what you have is a buying opportunity on the dip, and then it just goes up. That's basically the technical correction after a dip. One of those spikes, Alex, that I think we're going to get for strong fundamental reasons. Remember about a year ago when we were talking about Samsung and their new solid core silver state battery, which is going to change the electrical vehicle market? Something even bigger than Samsung just happened. So BYN, largest EV manufacturer in the world. It's like, what's that? It's a Chinese EV manufacturer. They just now started their own solid silver core battery technology. It'll let their cars go 1,000 miles without recharging. They'll charge up in 20 minutes and it'll last 20 years. See, these electric vehicle manufacturers, like we predicted, Samsung was going to change the EV market. So now these different automobile manufacturers in the EV market are going to be competing for the 800 million ounces of silver that are mined every year. Just one manufacturer is going to take up 20% of all the global manufacturing, just this BYN company. Well, what about Samsung? What about Boeing and Lockheed Martin? What about electronics? What about AI chips? What about solar? What, Alex? The demand is so outpacing the supply. We've already talked a bunch how there is no supply. Now with all this excess demand, that is going to cause a spike. So whenever you see a down day, which you have a correction, corrections are good. When people are locking in profits, that's why things correct.
Oh, when it went down 3 weeks ago, I said, get in there now.
Yeah. People locking in profits is not bearish. That's bullish. So when you see that, buy on the dip, because when the fundamentals haven't changed, there's another spike coming.
All right. Dr. Elliott, it's a no-brainer. I've never seen such a sure thing in my life other than the love in my mama's eyes. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Then they won't even on their website direct sell you silver and gold. It's not some timeshare pitch, any of that. They want to talk to you, get to know you, find out what you're looking for, blah, blah, blah. If you want to get in a shark pit, quite frankly, almost every other gold company out there, it's not that gold and silver is bad. It's the best thing. It's like I said, in the savannah in the summer in Africa, all the wetlands drop into these pools. And the water's good. You need it. That's KPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Hill and Precious Metals. But at the waterhole are the crocodiles, the hippos, the lions, the hyenas, the jackals, the cheetahs. So when you're trying to get silver and gold, folks, you better do some basic research, and you better not go to basically anybody that's big other than Kirk Elliott. There are mom-and-pop shops around town that'll buy it when it was before lower and sell it to you at wholesale because they already had it? Yeah. I can go get gold at wholesale in Austin right now, little bits of it, or silver. You ain't getting it on the market, folks. I can't believe how corrupt the market is. And I know you're not a troublemaker, and neither am I, Kirk, but we were talking this weekend. We need to go ahead and do it because this is so important. We have a responsibility to protect people, not just promote you. We need, because guys, I could get $3 million a month and solve all our problems, ripping people off, selling them numismatics, so we get a couple $100,000 a month, because that's how small his margins are. But I'd rather do that and people get the good mojo. But I think we have to go to war. And if you're willing to do it, I'll name names. If we don't have to, we can explain it. But it's basically goes from bad to worse, and it's shameful. And so, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals /gold, KPM.com/gold, is the water at the waterhole. It's the water. And you look at it, and it's like a convention of gangsters when you get there trying to rob your ass, because it is the answer. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
You bet. My pleasure.
Yeah, it makes me sick, folks. And that's another reason I got out of silver and gold 14 years ago is the company I'd worked with forever that would sell you numismatic if you wanted it at a pretty good deal on that, but they pitched wholesale bullion. And that's what I promoted. And because you got to sell something to make money unless you scale up like Kirk. I mean, it's hard with the margins he's got that are so small to even make money. But by scalability, you're able to do it. But most people can't do that. So, quite frankly, Kirk's even better than my original sponsor, who was the best at the time. I mean, it's sick how he was able to scale up like this. This is very hard to do. That's why nobody else has done it, basically. And these other people, though, are cutthroats. I mean, absolute cutthroats. And I'm not differentiating my sponsor from where you've been getting gold and silver, so you go to my guy. With Kirk, it's wholesale for 25 years. You know the daily wholesale price. You get great service delivered to you for an 8% deal. Sell back, no cost. Nobody does that. And that's the big one. Cannot do better. All right, I didn't mean to go into infomercial mode. I just love pushing stuff that works. I just feel good. You know, I guess it's Texas hospitality, but I love to have family or friends over back when I had time. I love to grill steaks. And, you know, I cook the dishes myself and stuff. I'm a pretty good cook. And I love getting it all out. And it just feels good. You know what I mean? Good old-fashioned hospitality. A win-win. Whereas the globalists want to burn down society, burn down civilization. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, I really am almost ashamed I'm going to spend time on Ben Shapiro today. I already spent some time on him. But he's emblematic of the people in the Republican Party that want us to get in a time machine and go back to 2003 and George W. Bush bombing Iraq and all the rest of that crap. I mean, his record is un-American. The stuff he has done is so disgusting. And then he comes out and attacks me and says, I don't give specifics, I don't give facts, I don't give hope. That's a total lie. All we do is give specifics and facts and hopes and get you to get motivated. But then he went further, and I'll play this after the break. He laughed about the USS Liberty and lied about it. So I woke up at 3 a.m., couldn't sleep well last night, and was sent the speech from yesterday, and I thought I watched the whole hour of it. I guess I didn't. Because Rob Dew came in here, our news director, and said, why aren't you talking about him and the Liberty? So I'm sitting there in bed watching my phone. a few times, you know, not off. Anybody that can't sleep, you know how it is. You're like sitting there, but then you kind of fall asleep for a minute. I must have missed this. This is really bad. But going out to break, here's a six-minute compilation we put together with a speech versus the reality of what's happening in the world. Here it is. We'll be right back.
To Tucker Carlson, unfortunately, the Constitution is a mere ruse, a sham. Instead, Tucker Carlson promotes a conspiracy theory by which the American people have lost total control of their lives and thus have no real ability to shape policy. Tucker Carlson believes that foreign powers have hijacked our government, that conspiratorial elite, immovable and undefeatable other than through centralized power has taken control. In 2018, Tucker Carlson said Washington leaders have confirmed our country's democracy is fake. If the population starts to believe it's all fake, that they're not really in charge, their votes don't matter, what will they do? Well, what they would do presumably is revolution. Because if our constitutional structures are utterly insufficient, we have lost control.
The fragmentation of the political right. That fragmentation is being caused purposefully by a splinter faction of people led by a young man named Nick Fuentes. They call themselves the Groypers. They are white supremacists. They hate women, Jews, Hindus, many types of Christians, brown people of a wide variety of backgrounds, blacks, America's foreign policy, and America's constitution. They admire Hitler and Stalin. And that splinter faction is now being facilitated and normalized within the mainstream Republican Party. The main agent in that normalization is Tucker Carlson, who is an intellectual coward, a dishonest interlocutor, and a terrible friend. And Tucker Carlson last week was aided, abetted, celebrated for normalizing Nazism within the Republican Party by the mainstay organization of the traditional right, the Heritage Foundation. Let's just be clear about this. If the primaries were held today, I would vote for Ron DeSantis. I would vote for him. And it turns out that many of us actually were not huge fans of Trump in 2016.
If you're a young person and you can't afford to live here, then maybe you should not live here. I mean, that is a real thing.
That's why the existence of the State of Israel is the single greatest guarantor of my loyalty to the United States, frankly.
right? Because Israel exists, that means the United States is going to be a more welcoming place for me, because Israel is there as a backstop in case anything should go wrong.
Here was Steve Bannon over the weekend, for example, praising Nick Fuentes. Again, the reason this is happening, we should point out, is because there is an attempt to glaze pretty much everybody who is on the anti-Israel, and yes, Fuentes is just an anti-Semite, anti-Semitic side, in order to shift policy priorities away from what President Trump is attempting to do. No to the Groypers. No to their publicists, like Tucker Carlson. No to those who champion them. No to demoralization. No to bigotry and anti-meritocratic horse shit.
Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life. None of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. In fact, he's been called by some a prophet. Tucker Carlson literally called him a prophet on his program. So actually, this is a person whose own lawyer made the case in a custody hearing with his ex-wife that he was a performance artist. This wasn't even the Sandy Hook trial where he tried to make the same case. His lawyers claim that this man of integrity is, in fact, a performance artist. Quote, he's playing a character and is nothing like his online persona. Attorney Randall Wilhite reportedly insisted in a Texas courtroom at a pretrial hearing ahead of the right-wing Radio Jock's custody battle with ex-wife Kelly Jones. Judging Jones by his InfoWars performances would be like judging Jack Nicholson by his depiction of the Joker on Batman. That's his own lawyer saying that. His own lawyer is saying that he was a performance artist. There are certain diseases like mumps, measles, rubella, like MMR, right? Which are highly transmissible and where you require herd immunity specifically to prevent against the transmission of that disease to people who cannot have vaccination. So I'm speaking specifically about pregnant women, kids with cancer, right? That sort of thing. And that prevents the transmission of that disease to other people. Then you run into the externality problem. And even libertarians believe that externalities are not protected by law, meaning that if you are polluting a river and you are upstream of somebody else, well, sure, it's a river, you're polluting it. But the problem is that pollution is affecting somebody else downstream. You don't have a right to do that. And typical way that this is done is saying you can't attend a public school unless you get the vaccination, which makes a certain amount of sense. You don't want to expose the general public to the transmission of a disease. You shouldn't be able to be in public with a bunch of other children in order to get parents to vaccinate their children. They are child pornography. The reason the FBI is not releasing them is because those tapes do not include underage people with third parties on Epstein Island. That is not what the tapes are. I also have sources in the federal government who are covering this stuff and have seen the documents. Okay, those tapes are just child porn. That's all. That's what they are. That's why the FBI is not releasing them. Okay, as far as the Epstein list, what I have been told by my sources is that there is no Epstein list, that basically there's a black book of Jeffrey Epstein contacts, and the vast majority of those contacts are already out there publicly. That's why you know names like Prince Andrew or Alan Dershowitz or some of the names that have been mentioned here. Those contacts, there is no evidence, according to the DOJ and the FBI, and again, that's public, there's no evidence that any of those third parties were having girls trafficked to them. Here is Tucker then asserting that it was actually Mossad. Again, without evidence, not a shock. Of course, this is where Tucker was going. This has become the hot speculation on the internet, is without evidence, you say that Mossad was running Jeffrey Epstein. When I say without evidence, I mean without evidence. This is our country. This is our party, and this is our conservative movement. And I will not stand by while it is handed over to those who betray the most fundamental principles I have spent my entire life defending and advocating.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Internet.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com. We have a new product in at TheAlexShowStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexShowStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexShowStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right. I'm going to cover Ben Shapiro right now because he is a symbol of everything that's wrong in this country and wrong in the world. He is an Israeli first operative. He is a neocon. He supported the lockdowns, the poison shots, the censorship of myself and others, a never-Trumper. He attacked Trump on Jan 6 and after when that was a setup. And he had billions of dollars of funding from Zionist oil company in Texas out of Frisco, look it up, that bankrolled their whole Daily Wire operation, and from all sorts of other Israeli foreign money. And again, I don't have a fetish for hating Israel. It's a total open climate for that now because it's seen as the edgelording and the zeitgeist. And, you know, it'd be safe for me to come out and wear a Hitler uniform right now and, you know, say, Heil Hitler. I don't like Hitler. I don't hate Jews in general. I don't have a hard on. I don't ascribe things to Jews. They haven't done. Everybody knows that. When they said Charlie Kirk was killed by the Israelis with no evidence, I said, I don't see that. And got attacked everywhere by the people that are obsessed with that. I'm into covering facts. And Israel is heavily involved in our politics, heavily involved in manipulating our foreign policy, spying on us, all of it. I don't like the U.S. ambassador. I like him as a person overall, nice person, a lot of good policies overall, but I don't like Mike Huckabee meeting with Jonathan Pollard, the spy, at the U.S. embassy in Israel, all of this stuff. But I do want the Abraham Accords. I do want peace. I don't want Israel blown up. I don't want the Palestinians all blown up. I don't want just Hamas. I don't want from the rivers of the sea crap. I'm not allied with Islam. I'm an American. And I'm an America first person. And for over a decade, I have had Ben Shapiro attack me and lie about me and misrepresent what I've said and done. And I've hardly ever responded to it. But he gave a speech at America Fest, TPUSA, yesterday. And he laughed about the USS Liberty and the attack on that ship and said it was an accident. No, Ben, everybody knows it wasn't an accident. It's been in the Israeli news that some of the first planes refused to attack the ship with the U.S. flag and turned around, so they sent new unmarked planes. And then they attacked it with gunboats and everything else for hours and hours. Then they sent Israeli commandos on helicopters, who it later came out in the Israeli news, said, those are Americans. We refuse these orders. And they tried to court-martial some of them. Boy, good thing Ben Shapiro wasn't on that helicopter. And you think he would refuse the order? It's the most decorated ship in U.S. history. I have interviewed more people from the USS Liberty than anybody else. You know why? Nobody can interview more because most of them are dead. And went further. I interviewed the Admiral's son, who talked about his father getting the call from LBJ over the sat phone. Yeah, they had sat phones then, saying, I want that GD ship on the bottom, and turning back the aircraft twice trying to save the ship. And so they had a deal to do a Gulf of Tonkin, like they'd done a few years before, to get us into Vietnam War, but those weren't real attacks on ships. And it came out pretty quickly that LBJ had staged it. And in 2004, they declassified the famous tapes of Nixon with McNamara, Secretary of Defense, saying they're going to attack our ship tomorrow. You're going to make this announcement. Here it is. And you know, this is what you say. Hadn't happened yet. They didn't attack our ships. So they're like, well, we better figure out a way to go to war with Egypt and try to get Russia in on it during this war Israel's having. The U.S. wanted to use that to go to war with Egypt. Try to drag the Russians in. Thank God it worked. Boy, God was looking after us then. This could have gone to nuclear war. And so LBJ got with the Israelis, changed the course of the ship, ordered it to not have its frigate protection that it had, and parked it right there for the Israelis to attack. Now, the Nazis that think only corruption can come out of Jews always get mad at me. And they got really pissed when I had the judge advocate general that ran the secret trial, when I had the son of the admiral on, when I had a whole bunch of people from the ship on, the first mate, all of them. Couldn't have the captain. He was dead by the time I was doing interviews on this. I've done hundreds of these. I've made films, Fabled Enemies, on this. And the Nazis got pissed as they went, no, LBJ's not involved. Israel did it. No, it proves it was a false flag with LBJ, criminal elements of the Pentagon, and Israel to get the U.S. fully into the war and try to suck the Russians in a proxy war like you're seeing in Ukraine. And I got this and learned all this when I was having Admiral Moore came on about it. He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Later, he was the head of the Navy when the USS Liberty got attacked. And he talked about this. So he explained the strategy. I didn't even understand all this. I was just, is it true Israel did this back when I'm doing these interviews 25, 30 years ago? So I have so much knowledge on this to watch Shapiro laugh about it and say it's an accident. Had a gigantic flag on it. Captain McGonagall, when they pulled their support ship off of them, they were the main spy ship in the Mediterranean. He said, this has never happened in all my years out here. This is one of our top spy ships. He said, he had a feeling. He said, get the biggest flag we've got and run it up. And here come the Israeli mirages. Marked. They don't attack. They see their flags. McGonagall waves. This is all on record. They had court hearings on it. But then we later learned from the Israeli news, credit to them, that they were ordered to attack it and said no. So they're out waving at the guys flying right over the ship. They even got photos of it. They're like, oh, the Israelis, hi, you're our ally, hi. No, they were supposed to strafe you. They didn't do it. Well, credit to the folks running the Israel government. They had blacked out planes with no insignias ready, just in case. And here come those planes. And then come the gunboats, the torpedo boats, and more planes, and more planes. Hours after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. The captain had his guts blown out, tied his guts into his body, shoved them back into himself. Dead people everywhere on fire. Thousands of holes, giant torpedo holes, but they couldn't sink it. Because God didn't want the ship to go down, because most historians now believe Russia would have come in fully with an attack on Egypt, nuclear war. And then that little snot-nosed punk, Shapiro, if he'd have deflected the question and said, oh, that's a historical thing, you got to research yourself or something, if he'd have been a pussy, I'd have not gotten mad at him. I mean, you know, you're an Israeli agent. You know, you're absolutely you're a scumbag. You don't have 1/100th of the goodness that the commandos and the helicopters that refused to go on the ship and kill everybody had and not follow any legal order. You don't have 1/100th the courage of the first wave of jets that refused and said, that's an American flag. Because they tried to court-martial them and it came out in court. The radio transmissions. They're like, no, that's an American ship. No, I'm not doing it. So they had him come back, put more people on, fly back. And the Nazis get mad because I tell the actual story. They go, don't make the Jews look good. Some of them didn't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. No, this is crazy, folks. This was our government with Israel doing it. You see, our government does evil stuff, too. Recognize that it's everywhere. Evil is in all groups, all countries, all people. And when there's evil, you oppose it, but you don't oppose it from a Heil Hitler, you know, only Jews can do bad stuff thing. It's not a defense of Jews. It's a defense of reality. And the total proof from the major secret, almost year-long hearings they had with all the top judge advocate generals in there, this is a big deal. And they had their findings, and they kept it secret. And the admiral, with all the sick troops that survived, all blown up, carnage they'd never seen so bad before, they said, the admiral went into each one of the survivors and said, tell me what you saw. At the end, he said, this is national security. We've been authorized under national security of treason. There'll be no trial. If you tell anybody what you know, you will be killed. And I've interviewed dozens of the people, including officers, that were told by the admiral, who did send planes twice to save it. McNamara comes on and says, it's an order. He says, I'm not going to follow your order. I want from the president. So the president sat links in. Yeah, they had sat phones even by then. They break into their radio wave system and says, I want that GD ship on the bottom. As I understood, this is a direct order from the president. He pulled back those planes. I want that GD ship on the bottom. And the helicopters, five helicopters of the Israelis with commandos were approaching. Those big troop carrier ones. And they flew over. And they left. And we've got the testimony. And then we had some of those people later testify in Israel, tell the news, yeah, we just decided we weren't going to do it. Well, that's very nice of you. What did these Americans do? And it was because some of them had been raised in America, were American, They went to fight for Israel, and they're like, we're about to go on a U.S. ship that we've been blasting the snot out of and kill these heroes? What the hell are we doing? That's the real story of the Liberty. And then Ben Shapiro makes a sick joke out of it, laughs about it. He's just a little demonic piggy or something. Check those evil eyes, like. And so it's a joke to him. Man, couldn't you say, you know, that's been a sad part of history, heavily debated, you know, war zone, things get confusing, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah, it was a mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake. What? I covered the U.S. government staging false flags throughout history. William McKinley. Trump models himself after him. That's when we became an empire. The U.S. government got everybody off the ship that night in Havana Harbor in 1898, blew up the Maine, the battleship, the Maine. This is historically admitted, to blame it on the Spanish so we could take all of their coaling stations so our fleets could take the Pacific. Now, at least the Navy got the troops off the ship before they blew it up. The Maine, the Lusitania, Gulf of Tonkin. Our government has done stuff like this. And it's wrong, but it's a tactic of war. So just say it's a tactic of war, like the Levant affair or the King David Hotel. Or anyway, instead, no. Israel never does anything bad. Israel's perfect, and you better shut up and let's do whatever we want. Well, guess what? We're not. And that's the distinction, though. That's the distinction, is look at things unbiased, do the research, tell the truth, be honest, and lay it out so we can reprove and fix all the groups and all the governments and all the systems instead of it making it tribal. Oh, well, this Somali, there's like 7 or 8 cases just today. Raped all these women, and they never gave him a jail sentence, and he just kidnapped and raped another woman, and they're going to let him out of jail again. Well, we can't let the white supremacists be right that we've got all this black-on-white crime, so we'll just let him go. See, it's crazy. It's black people want to fix the problem in the black community more than anybody. Let's help them. Instead of turn all the black criminals loose so the black criminals think they got a license to go crazy, I guarantee you, if there was open season and you told white people you commit any crime you want, there'd be a certain percentage of white people that would just go out and start doing crazy stuff because you just gave them a license to do it. And that is literally what the white liberals have done. And they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. And so when Ben Shapiro tries to give Israel a license to do anything, how's that working out for you, Ben? I challenge you to a debate. You've told enough lies about me, but that's not why I want to debate you. I want to debate you on all the issues. 3 hours, 4 hours long, no moderator, just a clock. I get 3 minutes, you get 3 minutes. I get 5 minutes, you get 5 minutes. Whatever you want time-wise. 1 minute, 1 minute. 1 minute, 1 minute. I say long form. 5 minute, 5 minute. In fact, let's do a filibuster. I challenge you to an unlimited debate. And you know it would have 1 billion viewers. And you know it would dominate. But you won't do it because you know I got the facts. And you know I'll wipe the floor with you, son. It'll be like Mike Tyson fighting a garden gnome. I will destroy you. And you know it. That's why you won't do it. You little coward. So here he is on the USS Liberty.
Thank you for being here, Ben. You cited during your speech truth as the most important tenet of American conservatism. Why, therefore, did you call irrelevant the Israeli attack in 1967 on the USS Liberty, which left dozens of American servicemen dead and hundreds wounded?
So what I actually said is that if we're looking at modern Israeli-American relations, looking at an attack that happened mistakenly by multiple Navy reports, multiple Israeli reports, and all available evidence, and using that attack in order to undermine today's relations between Israel and America, that's irrelevant. As irrelevant as it would be to cite a piece of evidence from World War II or from 1776 to define America's relations with, for example, Great Britain or Germany today. That does not mean that the attack wasn't horrible for the Americans involved, that it wasn't bloody and terrible. The Israeli government paid reparations to the people who were killed. If you look at the actual military record of what happened on the USS Liberty, it was clearly a mistaken and tragic attack. The people who frequently cite the USS Liberty, however, are not talking about the specifics of the USS Liberty. I suspect that the vast majority of people who bring this up are doing so in order to suggest that Israel deliberately attacked an American ship because Israel deliberately wants to harm America. It is connected generally with a larger point. I wonder if that's your point.
If the truth matters, then the Israeli government must be held accountable for that attack. The American flag was flying on that ship. You do not mistake an American ship for a foreign one when our flag is flying.
So, and we can spend the rest of the time talking about the specifics of the U.S. Liberty attack, or you can actually go look at the naval investigations that were done, multiple naval investigations that were done. The reality is that people were flying Mirage planes for the Israeli military at the time. The USS Liberty was sailing in an area where it had essentially gone off-grid. The Israeli military mistook it for an Egyptian ship. They thought it was shelling Al-Arish, which happened not to be true. In the initial attack, the American flag was knocked down, and then the attack went on for about 90 minutes. And then, as soon, you can hear this, by the way, on the tapes of the Israeli pilots talking to each other. As soon as they realize that it's an American ship, they call off the attack, they speed a ship to try and help the USS Liberty. There have been multiple unfortunate friendly fire incidents between Allied forces, including, for example, in the Gulf War, where U.S. forces were responsible for killing about 9 British troops during the Gulf War. It's an unfortunate reality of war, but you're not answering my question, which is, what is your broader agenda in asking the question? Because I suspect that your question is not limited to your specific ire over an incident that happened in 1967.
Hit pause. We'll go back to it. It's a big job. I probably did 50 interviews on this or more, made a film called Fable Enemies. And then I didn't really keep doing it because most people were dead. I interviewed the head judge advocate general that ran the secret inquiry that got sealed. I interviewed the guy that was the head of the Navy at the time, who became the Joint Chief of Staff head, Moore. I interviewed, like I said, gosh, but more than 50 people, from right down to the, you know, midshipmen, right at the top. And the attack went on for how many hours? 8 hours or something or longer? They sent torpedo boats. They sent more jets. They did all this. They first thing they hit was the communications in the first strafe, and they were smart enough to unhook a bunch of the wires and hide them, understanding, oh, look, they just hit that, so they could then restring it and send out SOSs, and they were on the Israeli channels begging them to stop attacking. Yeah, the torpedo phase was 2 hours, but though it went on and on and on. And then comes all the rest of it. So there was a whole bunch of phases, a whole bunch of rollouts. And I'll get that number myself. It's fine. I'll do it. So that's where we are here, folks. And Shapiro really stepped in here. There's been no ship in U.S. history hit like this. It's the highest decorated. Not the Grey Ghost, not the Lexington, none of it. And it was in dozens of battles, hit with kamikazes, you name it. This ship got more holes shot at it than any ship in U.S. history, bar none, and would not sink. Because it had bulkheads, and they went and locked those down. So, and by the way, they have the telemetry. It was not in Israeli waters. Another lie by Shapiro. Oh, the Israelis sent a boat to save them. What? Ben's in a lot of trouble now. He really stepped in it this time. Let's finish up with a clip from Ben.
I think we should question any foreign country's relationship with our government.
That's totally fine, especially, but I'm just wondering why you
serve American interests.
Again, I'm perfectly fine with questioning any country's relationship with the United States, but again, I'm wondering what your motivation is in bringing up a 6-decade-old attack as though it is the number one issue in assessing the relationship between Israel and the United States today.
Well, many problems persist to this day, but it's interesting that you say six-decade-old incident when there are many people in this audience who are alive for that attack, as if this is something that's irrelevant.
Well, it's just not particularly relevant to assessing the relationship between the United States and Israel today, in the same way that in 1967, there are a wide variety of countries with which the United States had different relations. Okay, it's clear you're not going to actually answer the question, so I'm happy to move to this one.
All right, so air attack, initial aerial assault by Israeli jets, fighters involved, cannon fire rockets and napalm. Torpedo attack was followed by an attack with three Israeli motor torpedo boats. Those are the boats he said that came to help, which launched torpedoes and continuing fire with machine guns. It goes on. The combination of air and sea attacks resulted in 34 dead American crew members and 171 wounded. It goes on from there. But those are the boats Shapiro said came to help. The torpedo boats. So here's Shapiro saying, I don't bring receipts. I talk about shadowy, foggy groups. No, I name the UN treaties, the WF, BlackRock, where they're specifically taking over different things, what they're doing, Democrat bills we need to block, bills we need to support, like banning transgender surgery in kids. It's all about victory. It's all about success. It's all about key races. It's all about knowing what's going on. But he says, we're not giving you any hope. We're dividing things. No, you're trying to come in because we're pro-free speech. We interview people you don't like, amongst other people I guess you do like. You know, one day a rabbi's on, and then another day, you know, somebody else. It's like, yeah, it's interesting. That's what we do. But the point is that you want to control that debate. It's not going to happen. Here's Ben Shapiro attacking me.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems, in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face, without ever positing a solution other than wrecking the system or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not finding solutions.
Hit pause.
We are merely...
Start over. Did you just hear that? He's back to never Trumping. He thinks we're stupid. We're here with policies and ideas and getting it done. We're not wrecking the system. The Great Reset, the left wants to turn off the coal power plants and shut down society, Clawford and Piven. We want to save the American Republic. But you're worried about a cult-like figure with too much power. Oh, like Trump. Uh-huh. That's a Democrat Party talking point. This guy is stupid. Here it is.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems, in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face...
Look, you can't even
without
talk...
...without ever positing a solution...
...without reading a script...
...wrecking the system, or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not...
You'll never debate me.
...solutions. We are merely making problems worse. Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life. None of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. That's because if you truly come to believe that nothing in your life is in your control...
Oh, no, we're all about winning. We're all about the power of the people, the opposite. Everything he says about me there is a lie. You know it is. You are a liar. You're a little devil. Hour number three, massive news breaking. Stay with us.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today
at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Of them. America is ours. We put Trump in there. We are not going to have George W. Bush, who was bragging a month ago that the neocons are going to take back control of America. You're not. And the globalist leftists are not going to have control. And yeah, Trump's got near record low poll numbers because of a bunch of missteps we've talked about. He's starting to correct. But the Democrats are even lower in every major index, 18 points on how the public sees them. Trump's at 39 in general polling, 36 in the economy. So, yeah, Trump's dropping. And he's got to course correct because people are pissed. They want action. And he's got to explain no instant delivery. And I said what his speech needed to be that he gave a few nights ago. Talk about lowering energy on average 40%. Talk about the good areas. Talk about things that are starting to happen. But explain it's not overnight. It was a big mistake saying I'll fix it day one. I'll end the Russia war day one. I'll end inflation day one. Sure got you elected, but I was like, that's going to bite you in the butt. Come on. Don't even underpromise over deliver. Promise what you think you can do and then deliver. So, CNN forced to admit inflation is coming down under Trump. No other way to spin it. It's true. They've slowed it in general. It rises like this. It's, you know, now it's kind of like that. In a lot of areas in energy and stuff, it's gone way down. You know, they've cut, actually. But people still feel it. So here's a clip from CNN even having to admit the truth.
I mean, I was surprised it was a better number than anyone was expecting. Look, inflation's been very high. Mm-hmm. It's stayed high. It has not been coming down. But, you know, people were expecting it to be above 3%. It was well below 3%. I mean, I think the president will take this as good news. The investors will think that interest rates will get cut more. So, you know, it was a positive news. There's no other way to spin it.
Absolutely.
And it's absolutely true that if Jerome Powell would have cut interest rates like he did for Biden and all the rest of it, and then we would actually be turning this around. And you're like, well, that'll cause inflation. We're getting that no matter how you slice it, because all the major governments are inflating. So you want to have an expansion, increase pay, and that mitigates the inflation. It's the two choices. Stagflation, the Great Reset, by design, poverty. austerity or expansion. And that's where we are. Polling signals serious trouble for Democrats in upcoming midterms. Zero Hedge leaks a whole bunch of government numbers and corporate polls. Voters are delivering Democrats in Congress a brutal verdict heading in 2026 midterm cycle, which is 18% approving of their performance and a staggering 73% disapproving. The worst rating Quinnipiac has recorded for them since the beginning in 2009. And all the other polls show the same thing. So Democrats are on average about 18-point approval, okay? So you go, oh, look, Trump's at 39. Yeah, bitch. People are pissed, but they really don't like you. So when we look at all these bad numbers for Trump, those can be reversed if he explains they're the ones. Like, all major blue states are control getting the tax on tips. They collect the money. They say they're going to still collect it. They're not even doing that. They're obstructionists.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Took my family away from my Carolina home. Had dreams about twist and started to roam. 6 long months on a dust-covered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been
say this pretty much every broadcast. It's true.
We were digging and sifting from
birds of a feather fly together. So people that love to lie, cheat, and steal, they all get together. And as time goes on with corruption, if it's not dealt with, they just egg each other on, and they get more and more corrupt and evil, and they radicalize. And then the old corrupt people die, and then even worse people get in charge. And then you just get total psycho cuckoo land. Well, it's the same thing for good people. The more good people you get standing up, the more stand up, courage is contagious, and then you get better and better and better and better people, and that's when you get golden eras. We're not going to get to the golden era in 5 minutes. And so I called all of it on the Epstein. I understand basically every angle of it. I talked to the people that have the best record and sources on it, what was happening. And Roger Stone told me when President Trump just got elected on election night, or the next day, he said, we're going to have a big Epstein problem. Because he used to be Trump's wingman in between divorces and doing double dating and stuff, 50-year big buddies. He said, the CIA's come to him. It's Mossad, MI6, royal family. He said, now I didn't get that from Trump, which means he did. And he didn't tell me that. I'm just telling you. And he said, you're not going to get any of it because the Democrats have already gotten rid of most of the real stuff, all the videos and stuff that the FBI grabbed out of his compounds and New York and the Caribbean and places like New Mexico. And he said, so this is going to be a big deal. And then Kyle Servin's been coming on for a long time, but he was on route when Trump got back in. He's like, yeah, they're going to set them up with all this stuff with these emergency managers and make them look like fools with this whole Bondi thing with the folders and all that. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. But at the end of the day, Trump, for national security issues, and I don't agree with it, is covering up for the royal family, is covering up for Israel, and the CIA was involved in the background of all this stuff. And it was a huge money laundering operation, buying off Harvard, buying off MIT, and just the underage girls was just like an hors d'oeuvre. These guys didn't need to be compromised, Bill Gates and Ehud Barak, the Israeli prime minister and all the rest of them. They were the compromisers. So I don't belittle the sex trafficking and all the rest of it. That's a big part of it, but it's not the main engine. And I've been covering it since it first broke. I'm not the first guy to talk about Epstein, but I've been talking about him since he first got, you know, arrested down in Florida. And I know how these networks work. He's just one of many. And so you go back to ancient Rome, you know, when it was declining, they had weird sex cults around the government. That's how the Chinese and the Russians and everybody, you watch a James Bond movie, you know, written by the former deputy head of the OSS and the MI6, Ian Fleming. Constantly the hot chick comes in that's a spy to try to set him up and get information or kill him. I mean, cause that's, especially under Humet, before they went to Signals, like, oh, Candace Owens. There's all these Egyptian, meaning Israeli planes following her. They follow your cell phone. They hack your computer. They're not following you with planes. The point is that this is a disaster for Trump. And I predicted it, and everybody predicted it, that if he obliquely joined the cover-up, the Democrats would selectively hang it around his neck. Evidence last week, they give the estate a few months ago of Epstein over to them, 90-plus thousand files. They pick 19 files. And it's Trump at public events with beauty queens and stuff, and they black their faces out. And MSNBC says, is that the girls? Do they black them out because they're victims? And we debunk it quickly, but the point is, it doesn't matter. Because Trump joined in it because he was convinced to do it. Because it's just a big rat's nest. It's the new Russiagate. They're going to pin it on you. It's already been hidden, sir. You know, a lot of powerful people are going to be brought down. It's going to embarrass America and the Queen of England and the King of England. And now they're all on board with Trump, you know, just kissing his ass. Because I said two ways. Trump could say, justice be done, may the heavens fall, destroy the deep state with this information. They probably would kill him, they already tried. Or he takes the file and uses it to blackmail him. And then I said, that's a dangerous game. They'll stab you in the back. So that's my synopsis. I'm going to shut up. So always talk over him. Kyle Servant's here. We're going to go through all this. And then we'll get later into him nailing it to the day. Said like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, a month ago, by Christmas, Mongino gone. Then days before he says he's going to announce his resignation this Friday. And he's either going to leave the 28th or the 3rd. I mean, we're talking hole-in-one nailing it. Totally insane. And then how does that tie into Cash Patel? Who's going to replace him? Where's this going? So, and a bunch of other angles. So I'm going to shut up, Kyle, till we go to break in 16 minutes because I got to shut up. I want you to be able to roll here with how huge this is. But obviously, we should tackle this DOJ issue first and also the issue of they call it the files. There's grand juries. There's the stuff that Epstein's turned over to Congress. There's the grand juries. There's the criminal trials. There's the civil trials. This is an endless cornucopia, and I get when Trump says it's a Russiagate because it is a rat hole. He should articulate that instead of just saying it's all a hoax, which is the number one thing in polling, pissing people off after the economy. So, Kyle Serafin, got your hit morning show that you do, thekyleserafinshow.com, Kyle Serafin on X, rumble.com/Kyle Serafin. Thank you so much. Let's get right now into Epstein and these latest developments. DOJ won't meet Friday deadline to release all the Epstein files. Well, Congress said they're going to go to war with this and tee this up to make it the major issue. So they just walked right into the trap. You don't think a Democrat lawyer doesn't know that? Oh, we're protecting you, sir. From what? And we've got Mongino saying, we've got them saying he's best friends with Epstein with no evidence. I'm going to shut up. Kyle Serafin.
Well, first of all, this is really predictable. They've been telling us they were not going to give us these files from the beginning because we just got this slow drip of nothing. We got Bindergate, right? You remember they announced that the files were on my desk. That was Pam Bondi. Whether that was a setup trying to make her look bad early on or not doesn't really matter because you could just follow the trail. The trail has been promise something, deliver nothing. Promise something, deliver nothing. Say that we're working on something, show you none of what we're working on. It doesn't mean the FBI doesn't have files, but to suggest that they were a truckload of files and they were all hidden over at some part of DOJ, which was the early inclination. If you remember, the initial story went something like this. I'm demanding all the files. Bring them all to me. I have all the files. They're now on my desk. I found out those aren't all the files. I just got made, fool of in front of everybody, and I did it on national television. So now we're going to go. We found out who the culprit is. It's the Southern District of New York, who you hate. And then you look and you go, well, the Southern District of New York actually answers to DOJ. They answer to the Attorney General. What are you talking about? One of your subsidiaries is not doing their job. Oh, it's the New York field office is the problem, what they also said from the FBI. Who's hiding these things? At the end of the day, if you have director level access to the FBI's file and record keeping system, and if you're the Attorney General of the United States and you cannot access things that you have within your agency, then you're not in charge. And I think that there's been this subtle sort of expression that that's been the case the whole time. I make the argument regularly when I come and talk to you, Alex. I think that DOJ has not been rooted out of corruption in the people that run things, whether it be, you know, mid-level managers, the high-level managers, and below the appointees. They're still there doing what they think is right. And if you don't have years of experience of knowing how to find these things, if you're Cash Patel, Dan Bongino saying, you know, they briefed me on these files, if you're Pam Bondi going on the word that your FBI director gave you and you can't take that to the bank, how are you in charge? We're talking about an intelligence agency. And how do they view power? It's based on information. That's always what the Epstein files were about. Whatever's in there, which we can speculate all day long because we don't have access to them. But there's a reason why Tom Massie wanted to put this through. There's a reason why Donald Trump turned and said, Massie, just because you're being consistent on this particular point, which he has been, I think, Marjorie Taylor Greene, consistent, saying that this needs to come out. The sort of, destroy it, and if it takes everything down around it, so be it. The truth is worth it. I think some of us believe that. We've seen that that's not what is being whispered into the ear of Donald Trump, at least based on the way that he's reacted to these people. So who's surprised that we've got Todd Blanche now coming out from DOJ saying, we're not going to meet this deadline? Well, the deadline is federal law. So what you're telling me is that you are not going to comply with federal law and you are the lead prosecutor. You are the Justice Department. That's job. You're tasked with enforcing federal law. So we have a real crisis here. There's no other way to say it. There's nothing good about what that means. We've got people that have decided that they don't care and they called Congress's bluff, which is what I was kind of suggesting to you the other day. What are they going to do? Cut off funding? I mean, you tell me, Alex, are they going to cut off funding to DOJ? Are they going to cut off funding to the FBI or any entity underneath? Because I haven't seen them have the balls to do this yet. This is yet another moment where, you know, it's going to be a hearing and some letters, and maybe we're going to have some people come out and do theater, and there'll be some outrage.
Well, Kyle, don't ask me to interject or I'm going to start talking over you. I want to hear your analysis, but
talk right there. This is what happens.
The Democrats are going to have hearings. They're not going to put pressure to release all this stuff because they know it's way worse for them. They've already figured all this out. And Trump's not sophisticated enough. He just knows it's a new Russiagate thing. And so they're playing Trump. This is going to become a huge fiasco. It'd be 10 times worse than it is. It's a total disaster. What do you recommend Trump should do?
You've got to actually do the thing that federal law says you're going to do. If you're going to have someone call the bluff, then there's two ways you can do it. If you think that there are elements within your own executive branch that are not complying with what your party pushed forward, right? It was an almost unanimous vote in the House. And the Senate moved it before they even saw it. So this is the stuff that Tom Massie was talking about. They passed it through. They thought there was going to be some sort of comment on it. Democrats called the bluff. Fine. Put it all out. So what? What happens next? The truth? And we just deal with it. It's not like Trump can be reelected. So I just struggle with people that make empty threats and never follow through on them. You and I were talking the other day about being parents. I've got 4 kids. You got 4 kids. You remember it. I'm going through it right now. If I make a threat to one of my children, you do this and the consequences will be fill in the blank. And they don't do it. If they don't follow through, they don't listen to their mother, they don't listen to me, I've got to follow through. Even if I don't want to, it doesn't feel great to go out there and punish your children, but you have to do it for their own sake. We have to have accountability. We have to have someone say, this is federal law. If you do not abide by it, we have exactly one power in Congress. We can't enforce law. We don't have executive authority. We can pull your funding. And by the way, that's what's going to happen next. They're never going to do it. That's the thing. DOJ, FBI, the other entities in the government have looked over and said, I'm going to call your bluff. I don't think you have any balls to go and follow through on what you said you would do. Then the evidence is we look at the past performance and we use that to predict the future behavior. And the behavior is you're going to fold first. Maybe you'll have like a sternly worded letter.
And they thought about all the angles. Here's the sad part. There's nothing in there but a few more pictures of Trump at public events. There's nothing there. It's all for Bill Clinton and Larry Summers and Lex Wexner, all of it. But Trump has decided to do this, so now they're going to have their cake and eat it too, not ever really even release the garbage, and then turn around and act like he's covering it up when Trump's already said over and over again, fine, release it. Oh, we can't. Oh, and then, okay, do release it. Don't release it. I mean, this is a total quagmire.
It makes him look bad and weak. And so you brought up polling, and essentially Democrats are underwater with their own base, with their own people who would vote Democrat as a default. You know, registered Democrats have a lower approval rating of Democrats than they previously had. And that's interesting. So we're over here on the political right. I'm not a Republican, but I vote generally that way because what other options do we have if we have people that are going to, you know, lean closer to conservative than not? And when I see it, it's like, okay, well, the midterms are going to be a loss unless you claim them. And I don't think that their Republicans have to win them back. I think they are actively losing them by not keeping to their word. Because people look, they won't vote pro-Democrat if they're on the fence, if they're in the middle, if they're an independent. They'll vote anti-Republican because you promised me something and you're not going to do it. You said something and you didn't follow through. I expect you to be a person of your word.
And the only way to do that is to say, if you think Epstein's important, you're an idiot. You don't support me. I don't want your vote.
He's dead. And all of this stuff is dead along with him, unless you make it something. I mean, they're breathing life into a story that should have been handled in the first couple of weeks of the administration. Just rip the Band-Aid off, deal with the problem. You had your attorney general going out making promises, and you didn't ever deliver on those promises. That's the thing that I think makes the people on the right most frustrated. If you promise me something, even if it's something I end up not wanting, give it to me. You said you were going to give it to me, and then I deal with it. It's like, oh, you're right. I really don't like driving a stick shift.
How dumb do they think we are with those folders of old information?
Well, that's the other problem. You've got an entrenched part of both the entire political establishment is sort of entrenched with this. But even the GOP has this issue where they're still trying to do 1990s, early 2000s PR and messaging, where if we give you people that you like, then you will react the way that we want you to. Put on the MAGA hat, hold up the stupid binder, and get nothing, but it's from people that you like. And so this has become synonymous with what they call Con Inc., and I know Ben Shapiro gets lumped in there. My buddy just called it, Brian Matta just called it Slop Inc. It's this slop garbage where it's really a sloppy information op, and they expect people not to have alternative sources, not have any sort of anything outside of the main sort of narrative coming at them, so they can't choose anything else. But that's not what we're living in right now. We actually do have alternatives. We've actually even had the throttle pulled off of places like YouTube. Like, I've got a YouTube channel that's slowly growing right now for the first time in 3 years. So that's interesting. It tells me that the throttle has come off. Some of that is Donald Trump's doing, I think. He put people into his cabinet. He put people into even FBI. In Andrew Bailey, who was working the Missouri v. Biden case, and they kind of came at the Biden administration and said, hey, you can't go and lean on social media. You can't go lean on alternative media.
Sure, well, let's be clear. This is my analysis on that. They've cut a bunch of the NGO funding. They've removed a bunch of the agents that were running the censorship. So at least it's not offense, but he's removed their attacks. It's more of a shielding move, just like pulling a 41 billion dollar U.S. deal with the U.K. because they're trying to sue the U.S. with the EU and censor us. That's good. And that's what frustrates is Trump is doing a lot of good. So when we bitch and complain, at least from my perspective, I'm trying to get them to course correct because we need this to succeed. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you don't want to add and subtract at the same time. If you're going to do less good, then don't do the bad. And if you're going to do some bad things, you better do an awful lot of good so you can out-message it. And this is the issue. People wanted more of what Donald Trump promised, not less. People didn't want him to like half-ass this. They said you started off as a hurricane coming out. You literally sat on a stage while a parade was going on. And what was he doing? He's signing executive orders in the first few hours. No time to waste. Time is of the essence. This is the end. This is like the final push or we don't make it in this sort of messaging. And people looked at it and they went, good. A sense of imminence is what we all feel. If you go out and talk to people on the street regularly, and I do so, and they're not necessarily political people, but they feel a sense of unease. They don't feel at ease and comfortable and thinking like, well, everything's under control. It's going to be fine. They think my life and my finances are at a tipping point. Our country is at a tipping point. We're always kind of walking down this razor's edge. And some of that is by design. I mean, it's a long walk. It's 100+ years of us getting to the point where every single vote and every single election could split 50-50 and we could see radical change in policy. We're not supposed to do that as a country, by the way. We're supposed to have a lot more consistency. But if you promise a U-turn, and you deliver me foot off the gas only, like you only slow down the agenda that we had a problem with, that's not going to be good enough. And when those of us that are parents that are looking at young kids going in it, people who have a little bit older kids that are looking about them going into the job market, you know, a tiny drop in inflation is not going to be the answer. We had a moment to recorrect in 2008, 2009. I was looking at inflation numbers. The first time in the last 25 years, the only time that we had negative inflation, which means deflated currency, which means your dollar was worth more, happened just after the financial collapse in 2008. And if you're not going to do it that way and have a huge meltdown, which was a big deal for a lot of people, then you better start like hitting the brakes really hard in other ways and showing people that you are accomplishing the mission that you said. And one of these things, this is why Epstein is always emblematic, because one, it's salacious. It involves sex. It involves young women. It involves, you know, two systems of power. It involves the possibility and the tiered system of justice where people can have access and they don't have to actually live in the world that you and I live in. So everybody kind of looks at that as a harbinger of what's to come. Are we going to get more of that crap? And that guy gets away, like even his reputation in death gets to still be kind of shady, but nobody wants to touch it. Or do we live in a world where we go, sunlight disinfects all, we're going to take our medicine, we're going to swallow it down, and we're going to deal with whatever the consequences are. And if that means that a bunch of people who are senators or world leaders around the globe, they don't get to be able to look themselves in the mirror anymore and have any self-respect because everyone else knows what kind of demon they are, so be it. I think Americans are fine with that. I think regular people who vote for Donald Trump,
no, I agree.
Regular
people if Trump doesn't do this,
care about that.
He's destroyed himself just because he wanted to protect the political establishment when we know it's not even him doing the actual screwing of the 14-year-olds. So something you said is a key.
Well, all he's doing is he's setting up an easy narrative for someone to say otherwise. Because if the answer is prove it, you know, think about this. This is like classic bully talk. It's like, I'm going to beat your face in. And then somebody goes, well, prove it. Like coming at me. I saw a guy the other day. He looked like he was a smaller dude, angry man confronting him, said, you said something nasty to my wife. He said, what do you want to do about it? And the guy's like, you know, I want to beat your ass. He's like, let's do it right now. If you call someone out, you call that bluff, and the answer is more talk, more obfuscation, a lot of posturing, then we know what the consequence is. It's nothing. And if you say, you need to release these files, we passed the law, Congress has spoken, and Congress does nothing, and DOJ says we can flout it, we've got a real serious, and you called it the other day, constitutional crisis, not in the way the Democrats are talking about. That's a legitimate crisis when your legislative branch cannot make direction that the executive goes out and does. That's tragic. And we're seeing it happen right now on something that should be a no-brainer. It's an easy win for the Trump administration to just say, we're taking our medicine, whatever it was. Yeah, call it a hoax, call it whatever. People have a memory and they have old video clips and they're going to go out and play it from whether it was him running in 24, where they're talking about it and all the surrogates are out going talking about it. Or you go back as far as like 2015, 2016, when he first hit the trail. And he promised some really aggressive reform in this country. People wanted to see something change. They wanted to feel what America was a period of time ago. And I'll tell you one last little thought on this. I had somebody in my comment section that said something like, isn't it funny that Serafin thinks that Clinton era politics was peak America? Well, it's not me that's saying that. I'm looking out and seeing what Donald Trump's policies more or less are. And they're basically 90s Democrat policies. They're not even to the right of where I live. He's not doing that. He's doing things where America saw post-Cold War, max freedom. People had a lot of hope. I lived through it. You lived through it. People who lived through it, remember, even if you didn't like Bill Clinton, people felt proud of being in America and they thought we won and we were the good guys. We've lost that. That's what I thought Make America Great Again meant.
Well, that shows how radical Democrats have gotten. Chuck Schumer in the 90s signing bills to blow up drug boats and record-level deportations and saying they're sucking off Social Security and it's a 180. It's not that... It's that they've gotten even more insane, and then Trump is just a moderate, basically.
He is. He's a moderate. For anyone to claim that he's a radical conservative is nuts. I mean, there are conservative people. He's not one of them, and I accept that America is probably not as far to the right as someone like me lives. That's fine. So let's look at what that is. To say that a basically 90s Democrat, a relatively moderate position for today, is fascist and totalitarian, it shows you how much compromise won't work. You can't make deals with the devil, as you were alluding to earlier. You make deals with the devil, and you find out that all you do is lose ground every single time because you're playing in the devil's playground. We can't do that. So we're now at this moment where we're seeing them say it. I keep updating the American, the Associated Press to see if they're going to bring this stuff out. But at the end of the day, we're going to see the clock run out on the Epstein files, which means they're going to be in violation of federal law, and then nothing happens. That's the worst case scenario. Nothing happens, and nobody cares,
well,
and no funding, and no consequences.
Huge fiasco. and embarrass Trump with hearings, but then watch, they won't push because we know everything coming out is 99% bad on Democrats, which again,
it's all image. It's all, yeah, it's all PR. This is a PR battle and they're losing because they're blinking in a game of chicken that you can't lose. You just put it out there and then deal with the consequences.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, let's talk about how you see this unfolding. Advice to Trump to extricate himself from this. And then I want to look at some of the other angles of what's happening at the shakeup of DOJ, because that is important, folks. Most important federal department to save the country, everybody with a brain agrees, is the DOJ. I mean, we can't fix that. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles, we've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future, we've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now, do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man, better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder. Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Crash
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he said it dozens of times. They bring up Epstein to him, and Trump goes, them blaming me is a hoax. Sometimes he goes that far, it's a hoax. But he said, I told him just release everything. But he goes, some of it I don't control to the courts, and the Democrats go and fight to not have the grand jury stuff released. So for everybody out there, like Kyle said, we were on yesterday, the day before, there's not some holy list, some magic place, and as much litigation and stuff as there is, It never ends. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So, but now in the culture, it's bigger than the JFK assassination. People want the answers. Well, most of the answers have already been removed. There's got to be a way for Trump to come out and communicate that fully to people and explain it and say, you see what they keep releasing? New York Post photos of me at beauty pageants with women's faces blacked out so they can act like their kids or something. I mean, he should go on the offense on this. And I look at Todd Blanche. You know, Trump's ordered them repeatedly. Go ahead and release it. And then, oh, sorry, we can't. They know full well. Todd Blanche knows full well that rests on Trump. So as you were the one that said like 10 months ago, you said, no, it's going to be people in the DOJ setting Trump up and setting Bongino up and setting Patel up. They don't pay very close attention and get an expert in what they're doing. And you nailed it. The deputy director gets all the real jobs. He's up all night being in crises. Patel stepped in purely just like Bondi does. It's just, you know, showboating around and, you know, partying or whatever. And so these guys are just movie starring it, not realizing what a serious situation they're in. And from my information, Trump's sick of them all. So I think what you said a few days ago is right. I think we see major shakeups in the new year. So how could Trump extricate himself from this tar baby swamp setup? And then where do you see this going into the future? And then your accurate prediction of the day of Bongino, what does that signify?
Well, it signifies that he got wrapped up right away. I mean, I think I sent your guys something from April of 2025. So April 23rd was the first tweet that I could find when I went back and looked at my timeline. And I think I actually said it to you about 2 weeks before that. So it was really obvious to me that he wasn't happy with what he was doing, that he didn't like what he was doing, and he made a really terrible misstep. He reached out to my buddy Steve Friend, and he said, hey, why don't you come in and work for me so I can stay away from the snakes? We know they're out there, and I don't speak FBI, and you do. Would you come sit in a meeting and tap me on the thigh and let me know when someone's lying to me? That's actually a really smart thing to do. Go get someone who's got, you know, who's been aggrieved.
If you're Lewis and Clark, you hire two Native American guides or you're dead.
It's really straight. Yeah, exactly that. You just find a local who knows what's going on. Steve Friend's a local and he's also got a reason to be, he's proven himself before you had a chance to ask. It's one of the things that I use for the sourcing that I have. A lot of the people, I've known them for a long time, long before I was ever out in the public. So if they reach out to me, I'm not going to out them. We're naturally communicating anyway. And I know that they don't have anything to sell me. They're like, I get people that say, oh, I was an FBI agent. Can I talk to you? It's like, absolutely not. I don't know you. You know, I got to go vet you if I'm going to find out who you are. Steve would have been that guy. He was previously out there.
Young people think they know it all. You may have a lot of native intelligence, which we respect. But as you get older, you know more people. You've been through more. You've seen the scams. And then also, beyond what you just said, people you know, it's people you've known that are consistently right and have credibility, which, like, that's what it's all about. It's about proving.
Alex, I had a reporter reach out to me yesterday, the day before, and sent me a message that was really troubling. It was like, hey, we're about to essentially saying I'm writing a hit piece on you, and here's the things that I want you to respond to. And they were all salacious nonsense. And so I'm reading it and I was like, my first instinct, my young man instinct is to go out social media, get ahead of the problem, go out like, this is the thing. And then I remembered, age old thing. This is the thing the Trump administration forgets. When you're explaining, you're losing. If you're out there going, even if you're getting ahead of a story, I see Bongino do it all the time. It's a juvenile move. He's the New York Times has bad info.
Read anymore, but we get emails. We're about to run a story about a woman being raped in your office. I know it's not true. Don't even respond.
So if I'm going to respond to it, though, I'm not going to respond to it the way that they expect me to, which is to get ahead of the story or to go out there and defend myself. I do the thing that is Socratic. It's natural to me as an investigator. I call them and I find out what they know. So I go, well, who's asking you to write the story? What do you understand it to mean? You listed some facts. Where'd you get them? What's your sourcing? I'd like to respond to it, but I understand.
I used to do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a waste of time.
It's always like noon. It's like, we're going with this at 6 p.m. You've got 6 hours.
Yeah.
This person says this person says that. In the old days, I call them and say, how much did you pay them? Blah, blah, blah.
You can dismantle them that way. And you can also ignore them. But at the end of the day, the thing that you want is you want to be a little bit smarter and stop doing the same mistakes that you've been doing. So you ask, what's the technique they got to be using? Some of it is Socratic. You can dismantle a lot of these things with the questions of the people that are making the allegation. That should be really easy.
The
second thing is radical transparency.
Explain the Socratic method.
I just asked you questions. Yeah, I just asked you questions. So you tell me, I'm going to write this thing about you and this is what I believe is going on. And I say, great. I said, how much do you trust the source that gave it to you? Oh, I believe this much. And they go, great. And what other examples of times have they been accurate? I just ask questions until you know that you don't know enough to actually be asking me. So I never tell you I don't have to tell you anything. I let you come to the conclusion that what you're doing is a bad idea.
You're getting info while you're turning it around on them.
That's it. I'm what do they call it? It's called eliciting in intelligence. So I'm asking questions and I'm doing it in a friendly way and I'm not being combative. I'll just continue to dismantle you. They do this in law school as well. But at the end of the day, that tactic is if you want to go and take something apart. If you want to end a current scandal, which is ongoing, then you have to face the music. There were some things in Kentucky Fried Chicken that had this problem. I did a whole special on this where they ran out of chicken in the UK at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is probably the cardinal sin of a chicken restaurant. And so they just went out and they said, we effed up. And they took the letters of Kentucky Fried Chicken and they moved them to spell F-C-K on their bucket. And they just said, we blew it. You know, sorry that we didn't have chicken when you came in. And people just go like, okay, got it. Like you acknowledge you just didn't order properly. You move on from the scandal by owning the scandal.
Or
and
instead of just owning, I told the White House this. The Democrats are promoting pedophilia everywhere. It's Democrats all in the files. Lean into it and go to total war. But again,
and this is how I would do it. Yep. Listen, you got a few more days where Dan Bongino's sitting in that office. So bring him out, sit him at a press conference, bring the agents that are assigned to this case, the case managers, anybody who's been involved in it, your analysts, the people who have done the technical evidence analysis, forensic accountants, whatever. Put them all on a panel, make sure that you've got everything that you can declassified, and then answer questions from the press in an open way for as long as it takes. If it takes 6, 7, 8 hours, run them out to the point where they're so bored with the story that they're leaving the auditorium or they're leaving the press room. And they're like, I just don't think, like, these guys are telling us everything. Whenever people would ask me questions about, they thought something shady was happening in my background, or they thought something shady was happening because we were going to go interview them. I'm with the FBI at the time. And I want to go, it's like, fine, what do you want to know about what we're doing? I'll tell you what the investigation is. Sometimes I would say, listen, I don't want you to answer any questions. I just want you to listen. I'm going to present to you my case. Can I tell you what I think is going on? You feel free to interject, but you don't have to. Okay. And then you tell them.
By the way, I wasn't trained in that, but I've got people to expose corruption for. I just instinctively knew that when somebody was paranoid. I'm like, listen, I just got an idea what these people are doing. I heard you were a good guy. I'm not going to get you in the middle of this. I just, let me tell you my story. And if you think that's accurate or you can fix it or if I'm part right, then they want to tell you.
It's a different kind of sales tactic. There are different sales tactics. For me, that's it. It's like, here's what the product is. Here's what I know about it. Here's why I think it's great for what you described your problem to be. Does that sound interesting to you? Do you have any questions for me? And if you just lay it out there and you're willing to do that, it's not combative. And they could have done this. They could have done this in the beginning, which is what they should have done. And I think I made the argument at the time. I'll make the argument again. You got a few more days on the clock. Sit out there and get ahead of this. You're supposed to do it anyway. Reveal all of it. You know, they've already done the redactions. I told you a long time ago, I want to say we did this in April, where we sat down and I told you they were doing all the aggressive redactions. They're putting out, maxing out overtime, getting all the victims' names that needed to be redacted and all that stuff. So that's been done.
So this claim by Blanche and Mondi is horse crap. That they're still,
I don't know why they're running out the clock, other than Trump looks stupid.
I got the article here. They say they're redacting names of victims still.
That's what they claim. But listen, they said they've gone through this with AI for 9 months and they can't get it done. Then they probably shouldn't exist. So all of that is to say, we're seeing this weird deflection and we're seeing more discussion of DOJ and FBI than I've ever seen in my entire life. So it's weird for me to be someone talking about what I always refer to as my ex-girlfriend. It's a relationship that I would be happy to move on from. I'd be happy to talk about other things that are interesting to me. But this is front and center. And I know it's front and center because when I go to other mainstream outlets, if I go to listen to see what Glenn Beck is talking about, then Glenn Beck is talking about the same things that I think are problematic, which is mid-level managers and all the sort of people that run these agencies. They're all still there. You can't do reform with the same people. We brought a little clip of like Harmeet Dhillon talking about it, and watch how she doesn't answer the question. That's really the key. Nobody has a real answer because nobody wants to say, look, man, we don't actually run these agencies. They run themselves. We're figureheads. We can handle small departments and minimal change. But at the end of the day, you either got to scrap it and start from scratch, or you just accept the fact that you have disloyal people to the agenda you're putting out. And they've accepted it, but they won't say it to people. I think if you just said that, then they'd be okay with it. If you guys want to hear the Harmy Dillon, she'll say it in her own words. Just watch the pivot when she doesn't answer Glenn's question.
All right, we got this Harmy Dillon clip. Here it is.
Do you think that the people at the FBI and the DOJ in all levels realize that, because I know you do, do they realize how to the end the American people are, that they're starting to lose faith? If we don't start to see people at least charged and have a fair trial, I'm not even saying that they go to jail. Hopefully they would if they broke a law, but you know, showing these people, cause we keep getting investigation after investigation after investigation, and then it just sits there, you know? There's a story out today about, you know, the Clinton Foundation and all the investigations, what they found. I don't have any faith that nobody's going to jail for that. Nobody's going to go to jail for that. And we're at this place to where it's up to the DOJ and the FBI to do their job, and then start bringing some justice, because if we lose in 28 and you haven't cleaned up and set clear rules of the law does matter, all these people got away with it last time. It's going to be 1,000 times worse in 2028.
No, I hear you, and I'm worried about it. I'm a citizen who loves this country, and as you know, I've donated countless millions of dollars of my billable time to being engaged in politics. And so let me just set some expectations. So you come into the DOJ. I had about 400 attorneys plus working in my department. I have one third of that now, because when I set the rules of what we're going to do here in this department, two thirds of the people peaced out and quit. And some of the ones who are left behind are leaking to the press what we are doing. And so that's the fight in my department. Okay. And then you look at where does most of this work occur? When you look at the hundreds of thousands, over 100,000 people who work at the Department of Justice, a lot of them work for the FBI. Well, it's only the very top layer of that is politically appointed and committed to the president's agenda. I would say the vast majority of that agency is, legacy doing what they're doing, much of which was not good for America, I'm going to say.
Now, Elon Musk said that 6 months ago to Rogan. He said, listen, we elected Trump the captain, but half the ship's mutinous. It's more than that. So, again, the leftists, they just leave. The super hardcore saboteurs, they stay. The real spies stay. And then you've got a few people in management that are halfway good. I mean, really, how do you fix something that's this ingrained and systemic?
He just told you what the problem was. You can't get rid of them all. The people that are going to leave are going to leave. The people that are going to stay are going to keep doing the thing they were doing before. So Harmy Dillon's pretty bright, and she's gone into there, and maybe they've turned and they've gotten some cases that they want to run, and she's doing the Second Amendment thing now, and she's interested in pivoting civil rights to be, you know, sort of necessary. And they're going to not look at it as a way to go after white supremacists, which is kind of what they previously did. They would name anybody a white supremacist. I think you guys were listed as a racially motivated violent extremist group at one point. So like, they'll go after anybody if they can use that weapon that way. But she just told you the entrenched management, the entrenched everything is there. So let's zoom back out on we just got word that Dan Bongino's leaving. What does it mean? Right. That's the bigger question. I think it means that he always was going to fail because he didn't pick the right people early. And that was obvious to me within a couple of weeks, but maybe that's not obvious to everybody.
You predicted when he first got approved. Confirmation, you said he'll be gone by the year. You know you did that by the end of the year.
But it was so easy to see. The analysis was really there. I'll show you why, by the way.
I brought you a clip. So bad at first you thought he'd have to go, but now you're saying he's so bad they might like him staying there.
I don't know if they're going to. I can't imagine that. Keep him. I hope Donald Trump does exactly. He's bringing so much negative attention.
Because he's so embarrassing.
You'd think, how many times can you tell the president that you got somebody in custody for a major, we haven't even talked about Brown, but for a major investigation, and then and be wrong and make him
be
wrong.
If
you go
Brown,
make your boss a bad.
Well, finish up with Mongino and then the news.
Yeah, let me finish that. Let me couple little quick clips. We have one of Liz Harrington. She's a former Trump spokesperson. She's on a team Trump. She's one of the people that follows me. I feel like she's been listening to what I've been saying, whether she's getting it from me or from people that are saying the same thing as me. Is kind of irrelevant.
Everybody's getting it from you, which is not a it's not a competition. It's dangerous for you, but yes, you've got the zeitgeist.
Great. So listen to what she has to say about the answer. She has a different take on what it means about Mongino. Again, you got a few days with him. Set him down and make him do the Epstein press conference because that's what he came out there and he spent enough time talking about it. He should know. Liz Harrington comes out and says exactly what needs to be done. If you can't get people on your team, then you can't even use that team anymore. You might have to start a new team. You might have to restart the franchise. And she says essentially that on Fox.
Here's a clip.
Newsmax.
Newsmax. Go ahead. Guys, play it. Yes,
and also word that it might be Andrew Bailey who was brought in, the former AG, to take his place.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. He's already co-deputy director, which I think was kind of a sign that Dan Bongino was not going to stay in his role for that long. I really think that this is more proof that the FBI needs not really major reform, but to be dismantled and to be shut down. It is inherently corrupt. And when you bring in people with good intentions that try to change things from the top, it's really difficult if you don't change all the people at the bottom. And you still reportedly have 6 members of the FBI who were on the Get Trump operation, Arctic Frost, as it's called, that are still working at the FBI. You have the lead prosecutor on the so-called pipe bomber case who literally tried to frame President Trump for January 6th. When you have the FBI trying to arrest him and imprison him to prevent him from running for office. So these people are still at the FBI and they're running the show. And sadly, it's not going to be reformed if that remains to be the case.
You know, Liz, that's a really interesting take. And
you know, it's good to see them saying we know, but we already know this, Kyle. You've explained it. So.
I'm just getting at, if it's getting out there to people that are not me saying it and are listening, and Harmeet Dillon said the same thing, she just didn't make the same argument, but she's saying the same thing. You know, Harmeet Dillon just said that there are mid-level managers that are working from the inside of the Oreo out. My buddy called it like a, you know, like a poop cookie, and the cream is the problem. You know, you can have the people at the bottom that are working their way and they're getting the work done on the ground if they're given good direction. People at the top may have the same thing, but if the majority of the transmission space from the senior executive, here's our vision, to the actual people that go do the work, if it's not happening, and there's people that are screwing with it along the way. The story that I was talking about that I got this phone call about, I think it's actually relevant. It came from an episode that happened between me and one of my fellow agents in the desert in the middle of New Mexico. We were out shooting on a range and we did something that people do every day. And by the time it got up to the management in Washington DC, who worked for Chris Wray, you know, it was a new story. It had nothing to do with reality other than the fact that I did regular firearms training. So they want to comment on that. It's like, well, the game of telephone is a problem in the federal bureaucracy. And if the middle of it is corrupted and intentionally destroying the signal, that's what you're hearing Liz say. That's what you're actually hearing Harmeet say without saying it. She's not making that argument because she's inside DOJ.
No, it's true. But it's really easy for them to do. And so we know that. Then what could Trump do? Is there any way to extricate ourselves out of this?
Not without really breaking, I mean, I heard Ben Shapiro on the last hour and you were playing him and he says, you know, breaking the system is not an answer. It might have to be the only answer. You know, there's a point in time where you're like, it may be a dog that I used to like, but now it has rabies. You got to put it down. If the dog is the problem, I think even the Bible says, if it's your right hand, that's the problem, then lop it off. You know, if your eye is the problem on your left, then pluck it out.
How do we old yeller the system then?
It needs to be like the people that work there at the ground level that are investigators. They can be easily moved. There's an entire job code of 1811. Every federal agent is an 1811. You can move them to anywhere else. We got 2 dozen agencies that have 1811s. Commerce Department has them.
That's right. You can send them to Marshall Service. Quickly, you send them. Russians send them to Siberia. We send them to the North Pole.
That's right. Well, there's certainly people that are useful, but that was the argument I made to Kash Patel right away. If your management core is the problem, then promote them to Guam, move them to Guam, and make them in charge of federal investigations in their house, and stop coming out of your house until they quit. Don't fire them. Don't do that, because then you'll be in lawsuits forever. Just send them over there. What you'd pay in a lawsuit is what you'll pay them in salary. So just move them out of the way. This is what Hoover used to do, by the way. He'd move people to Montana and places that they didn't want to go. That sounds like a dream to me right now.
Yeah.
But they didn't want that.
Please.
You move people to Alaska. That also sounds nice. So don't move them to Alaska. But move them to Guam or move them to Puerto Rico. There's a lot of crime in Puerto Rico. Go deal with that. Get the hell away from where the power is. So this was the argument that I made to Patel in January. You need to get rid of the problem and send all the problem people. You don't fire them. You make them go somewhere else and do a job that they leave on their own. Then they have no recourse against you. They can't file lawsuits. They can't go out and complain about it.
Let me raise this.
All right, so that's that.
As they go full whole hog now, starting next week, or the new year for sure, 24/7 Epstein, Trump DOJ covering it up, even though he said release it, they're not. What does Trump do? Because he's going to get pissed now.
Whoa. You need to do a big shake. Yeah, I mean, look, the policy of the Trump administration was no scalps. Like, nobody loses their job. We don't hurt anybody's feelings. It's a nice sentiment. It's from a nice idea. It's like, if you came out there and decided to work for me, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to screw up your future job prospects. Well, it turns out we got something a little bit bigger, as you like to talk about, and I feel pretty strongly about it. Sometimes you're going to have to break some eggs. You're going to probably have to hurt some feelings if people are not getting the job done. And that's not a mean thing to say. That
well,
just
I mean,
says,
look, we're
you didn't
in total
do it.
Crisis,
let's get someone
and
else.
The bureaucracy was going to keep spending money till like there's no debate on 100 fronts. We have to reform the country or it's over.
And you, listen, you don't leave your favorite quarterback in the game, for example, just because he's historically been good and he took you to the end. If he's injured and he's not getting the job done, you pull him and then you put someone in for the second half. We're basically moving into what? Like the second quarter, but if we don't have it by halftime, which is the midterms, then you don't get another half. You're going to get mercy ruled out of this game. So that's what you have to look at. Imminence.
We got to have
you have to. Well, you have to at least be in the game at halftime. And he's not going to be in the game if he's dealing with nothing but, indictments from the other side. And he's dealing with impeachments in the House if you lose
it. Well, that's why I said that. If we lose the House and Senate, then that puts them in the command position.
It doesn't mean America's over, by the way. That's not the black pill we're selling. It just means that this particular term is now a waste. The next 2 years will be just a waste of time.
Yeah, but they've said though.
Maybe it ends up really dangerous. Maybe not. I don't know I can't see the future, and you may see better than I do. But what I can say is maybe it goes back to the states and America doesn't actually survive as a country. That's a real possibility that I keep looking at. I just don't think it immediately goes to like the zombie apocalypse. I think more likely it's like the states just go, okay, well, the federal government is so defunct that we now have to handle business for our own citizens in our state. That may be okay. I mean, there will be a turning of whatever that looks like. But if you want to see the status quo of America and everybody looks at themselves as an American and not a Texan first or a Montanan or a Californian or New Yorker, then you better try to maintain this union in a meaningful way. And right now, it means that you get your job done. That means you may have to get out some cabinet positions and some sub-cabinet people. They may have to be fired. And they may have to be fired really publicly. And if they told you that they weren't going to get it done, I got a clip from Fox for you about Bongino, how I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, stay there. Let's do 5 more minutes. I got to go to break. 5 more minutes. Put some bookends on this, and then we're going to have the great Jay Dyer come in and take over. Kyle, I really appreciate you spending time with us. TheKyleSerafinShow.com. Follow him on X. It's not hard to find him. Rumble.com/KyleSerafin. Really kicking ass. And you judge a tree by its fruits. Incredible accuracy. I want to hit any other little, not little, but in the time we have, a little bit of time, any other big things that he wants to tell us about that he thinks are coming down the road, straight ahead. Separately, I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter Bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead. We We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com. And I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Can run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Sooner or later,
so I just thought this last question before Jay Dyer takes over. I was like, Kyle, I'm taking on the bad guys, and I cover the whole system, and I get a lot of attacks. But I noticed a few times I was going for one specific high-level operative or globalist, that's when real hell breaks loose. I said, I've never seen somebody in just this period of time take them on. I said, what are the repercussions going to be? Because, you know, whatever the new FBI is, you know, and unless they're good guys, are going to be even more scared of you because you have all the whistleblowers, you're willing to do it. By the way, you crush him, it'll just make 1,000 more. I would advise them to think about Streisand effect. You said, oh, you didn't know about this. I didn't. So Bongino is pledging he's going to, him and his henchmen are going to get you.
Right. Yeah, I sent it over to Daria. This is, I don't know. Sometimes you wake this stuff up. I can't be worried about it, but it doesn't make me feel great when people who have a much bigger, you know, microphone than I do that obviously have a much bigger social media platform and they're going to go out there and do that. And that is what my business is these days. I mean, my business is in media, so that's not my favorite. When somebody says, yeah, we're going to address you real soon. It also turns out that I have a, you know, a decent audience and some of my monetized platform is coming from Rumble to find out that guy who owns almost 6% of that is got his henchmen out there saying that we're going to address Kyle Serafin because I put out a meme.
Yeah,
which,
let's
by the way,
pull that meme up, guys. Kyle sent it to you. But first, we have some actual footage of Bongino leaving the FBI, mounting up with his buddies to come after you. Here it is. Go ahead, roll it while he speaks. Go ahead. So here they're coming, Kyle.
That's right. It's silly. Yeah, it's... I don't know. When you're out there making threats on your punching downward, and this is something you advise towards me, and I actually agree with it. It's like, generally speaking.
Just because you put this out, though, they're mad at you.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, I've been a relentless sort of calling out of what Dan's failures are, and they were inevitable. And I think I've been charitable about it. I don't think it's a character defect. I think it's a knowledge defect.
So
like, you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the ability.
Now, what is the implication?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Rumble claims they're a free speech platform. I wouldn't be surprised if I lost following there. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have a channel there, got demonetized. That would be real easy. And, you know, here's the funny thing. The first time he and I mixed it up, which happened about a year and change ago, Dan didn't say he did this, but I went from catching, You know, I basically lost 50% of my live viewers immediately. Like the next day, we suddenly just didn't have anybody over there. And whether that was because of a Rumble reboot or an algorithm shift,
yeah, for those who don't know, he's part owner in that. I didn't think of that. God, I hope
he owns about $150 million worth of their stock, maybe 165, depending on the day. It's a lot. I mean, he owns almost 6% of the company. So I think if an owner of 6% of a publicly traded company calls up the founder of it and says, hey, by the way, this guy's PNG'd and we're not going to go out there and allow anything. I've never once had a video featured. We have a pretty decent podcast in the morning.
Well, let me warn the folks at Rumble because I love them and I know some of the other bigger shareholders. Don't Bud Light your brand. If you let Bongino come in there and start attacking people and make it a prerequisite to suck his wiener to be on Rumble, you are going to turn into Bud Light.
I think they're doing it already for whatever it's worth. I got friends who own smaller stakes of it that have told me similar things. They have questions and the answers are basically like, sorry, if you're not going to be on what we say is the approved chit, then you don't get to go out there and be successful the way other people are. We've done it in spite of them. And you know, I have an audience and people listening. I think my show that I do punches way above its weight for people who have decision-making capabilities, and obviously we pissed off the FBI. I mean, shit, I did, excuse my language, but we did a podcast, and the next day they went and they pulled my buddy who was on the podcast. His attorneys fired him. The FBI called him back to active duty and then fired him 3 days later for things he said on my show, and they quoted my show as the reason why they were firing him. So, you know, I'm going to point out that these guys are ridiculous when they're acting ridiculous, and some of it is very personal to me.
Well,
and
I was about to say, I hope Bongino can look in the mirror. Because
he's done
this to himself. He's the problem. If he was smart,
yeah, I didn't do this.
He'd ride off of the sunset. We don't and leave everybody alone.
If you say you're going to go solve a problem and you can't do it, either be a man and say I wasn't able to get it done. Don't lie to us. Don't piss on our leg and tell us it's raining and say I solved all the problems. When we blow up this pipe bomber case, which is going to come probably in the next couple weeks, then people are going to realize like all the things you claimed you did, they were all fluff. So how are you going to go back and tell people that, look them in the eye, and then tell them I have an NDA and I can't actually discuss anything that I learned in the last year? It shouldn't fly. Americans should do better and demand better.
Yeah. Kyle Sterman, thanks for the time.
Yeah, buddy. Always good.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Listeners and viewers, your prayer, your word of mouth, and your support. But I can tell you, in the twilight of the great year 2025, you are the deciding factor. You are the variable whether or not we're going to stay on the air. And it's been one long hell of a fight. Now I'm told they're going to have the auction in early March at the state level to sell InfoWars, and it's going to be an open auction. The good guys can buy it. But the problem is, we are in the red. Not massively, but in the red. And every day it gets bigger. We can't stay open with a receiver and all their systems if we don't have the funding. So I need you now to do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. You have until the 23rd to get 60% off on things like ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss distillery. Those aren't sexy names, but they do sexy things. And it funds this operation. And we have two new great flavors of the same product, Freedom Mango and Patriot Punch. We have something even better than Turbo Force, ladies and gentlemen, and natural like it with incredible extended energy. New product, Ultimate Power. I did not come up with that name. I would have said Unlimited Power, and I didn't put Palpatine on the cover. But it looks like it's a powerful firework or something. But the results you get are definitely match the cover. It is filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ignites mental clarity and focus. Clean, sustained energy. Enhanced blood flow and endurance. Supports daily cognitive function. Key ingredients, L-citrulline. Converts to L-arginine. Once absorbed, supporting nitric oxide production. Enhances circulation, vascularity, and oxygen delivery. And fuels longer workouts, sharper focus, and quicker recovery. The big things for the brain. L-theanine promotes a relaxed, laser-focused state. No jitter, no anxiety, mental clarity, and stress resistance. Natural caffeine, 100 milligrams per tiny little scoop is in there. Equivalent to one cup of high-quality coffee. The highest quality organic B12 and B6 and a bunch of other ingredients. Ultimate power. It is amazing. It's as good or better than Turbo Force. It's a different formula. It has some of the same ingredients. You're going to love it. And it's a heavy container. How many servings are there? Like a couple months worth? I mean, it's a little tiny scoop. It's got to be like 60 of those in here. This is powerful. I guess it does deserve the name Ultimate Power. I would just call it probably Ultimate Energy, but that name was taken. We got to have Emperor Palpatine advertise this. Unlimited power! So this with the methylene blue, the rest of it's insane. Then we have the highest quality of creatine, and it's 5 milligrams per day. That's the daily allowance. You want to front load when you first get it, about 20 milligrams a day for about a week. Then after that, and everybody knows it works for your muscles and it's great, but it's for your brain that it's really good. We have that in two different flavors, creatine, ultimate creatine gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. But it takes funds to do this and my legal battles, and we're really starting to win. Notice we're still here despite all the insanity. So the variable is you. Yes, the globalists failed to silence us, but now it is in your hands. Do we have the backup of Alex Jones Network? Yes, all that, but we really want to save the mothership. What a victory. So that Bloomberg, who's trying to come in and take it at the auction, can't get it. There is so much happening. Regardless, we're going to fight to the end and never give up. This is a marathon, not a sprint. The turtle wins, not the rabbit. I ask for your support. I salute you and I thank you. Plus, these are really amazing products that really work. You've heard the rave reviews. That's not hype. So get all these great products and more. If you've never gotten methylene blue, we have the best. Take the Methylene Blue Challenge. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And I thank you all for your incredible support. Now, best-selling author, researcher, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis takes over on this Friday transmission.
Thank you, Alex. Ben Shapiro talked about the shadowy groups.
The shadowy confederacy.
That nobody identifies, no one talks about. Well, that's simply not true. As anybody who's listened to this broadcast knows and has heard Alex name names for years.
With the receipts, decades. With their own videos, with their own books. But you do it even more than I. A whole library of them. I mean, it's a joke.
We're about to do it.
It's a joke. Oh, so this is a message.
Everything behind me is naming names. So, like, the whole backdrop is naming names. And
well, look at David Rockefeller in Reflections. Of course, there's people accuse me of a conspiracy for world government to take over. Well, guilty as charged.
Yeah, David Rockefeller has multiple chapters in his memoirs about creating a global government, about helping to found Bilderberg. The book I'm reading right now is a CFR historian, Burton Hirsch. So this counts as something along the lines of Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. This is the old boys. It's the history of the CIA and the OSS coming out of the wealthy families like the Rockefellers and support from the Rothschilds as well. British intelligence helps to set up.
And I'm going to shut up because you're a real historian on this. In fact, I should have thought of that. You're like the guy with their own quotes. These are their books. Most of them are their books bragging. He didn't just say that we never name the shadowy elites. He said we do it to make you feel powerless and to never give you policy. All we do is then develop policy ideas, many of which get adopted. Like everything he says is a lie. You want to play the short clips people have in context?
Yeah, please.
Guys, cue up Ben Shapiro. last night attacking me and others. It goes on and laughing about the USS Liberty, saying the torpedo boats came to save them. The torpedoes were loving little gift packages. Here's a little Ben Shapiro.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems, in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face, without ever positing a solution other than wrecking the system or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not finding solutions. We are merely making problems worse. Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life, none of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. That's because if you truly come to believe that nothing in your life is in your control, you can't even take control of your own life. You despair of your ability to change your own circumstances, and then you fail. And you must not fail.
No, if you can't expose the secret control system, it's not even secret, the public's just ignorant, then you can never get back control. And we've been getting back control. How about don't take the shots? Here's top experts, whistleblower from Pfizer, their former vice president, head of vaccines, before the shots rolled out, Yeadon, saying it will attack your immune system and give you vaccine-induced AIDS and everything that's happened in turbo cancers. No, no, no. We are giving you solutions. Don't trust you, Ben. You said all of us should take the shots. You supported the lockdowns. I mean, he is such a paper tiger. I'm going to shut up. Now I hand you the baton again, Jay Dyer.
Well, it's also gaslighting, too, because he said that you'd never propose solutions when, in fact, this audience is the spearhead of waking people up to take action and to not be blackpilled. So really, in logical fallacies, that's a straw man. He's setting up a position that Alex doesn't have, that we don't have, and then knocking that down and saying, see, if you listen to that guy, you're going to be blackpilled. You're going to be unable to take action in your life. But let's deal with the first part of it, because it ended up being what I was planning to talk about today, which was, are there shadowy elites? Well, they're not really shadowy. Maybe in decades past, they were more shadowy. But a lot of these elites have published books. They've come out and they've said what their plans are. And as I've said many times on the fourth hour, I've heard Alex saying that for years, back 10, 15, 20 years ago. When I first heard Alex 22 years ago, and I thought what he said sounded a little far-fetched. I knew about the UN and the New World Order and these kinds of ideas and socialism and Marxism, but that they would be that explicit in their texts was something that I just was a little skeptical about. So I went and started buying these books. And ever since then, on my channel, for example, we've lectured through them for the last 10 years, and I've been reading those texts for 22, 23 years. So it's very real. It's very public, but Ben Shapiro is counting upon the boomer mind matrix still controlling everybody in the neocon, normie conservative world, con ink world, that no, it's all just incompetence. It's all just, the libs. There's no plan. There's no Klaus Schwab. There's no Davos. There's no Bilderberg. There's no, AIPAC that's trying to run American foreign policy. No, none of that exists. All that exists is the libs, the incompetent, the retarded libs. Well, one of the most powerful, wealthy men in America, David Rockefeller, as we all know, he wrote a book called Memoirs. And on page 404, it's kind of even shocking that we have to still talk about and defend this. I mean, this is 2025. It's not 1995. I can understand normie conservatives, freaking out about this stuff back in the 90s. But this is 2025. This is after global policies around wearing BDSM masks to fight off some, virus that's going to kill everybody. This is not that era anymore. And I think Ben Shapiro doesn't realize he's cooked, to use the Gen Z term. His time is already over, because people can, within a few seconds, go and look up and see that David Rockefeller wrote a chapter called Proud Internationalist, where he says, if you say that I'm guilty of wanting a global government and a new order, I stand guilty as charged. Absolutely. And he says, that's why I created the Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, et cetera. That's not all he created. He says that we also were involved in supporting and funding the Dulles brothers, who were really sort of front people for the Rockefellers, and that's why they became the founders of the OSS and CIA, along with Bill Donovan and others, to really get that flagship deep state operation going. So if we get into the history, not from conspiracy theorists, the history from Council on Foreign Relationship archivists, much like Carol Quigley, there's one called written by Burton Hirsch, the Old Boys. The Old Boy Network is referring to the old OSS and CIA network. And even prior to that, back to the Woodrow Wilson administration, the Inquiry, which was a bunch of academics who operated as kind of the proto-CIA of that time. You know, even David Rockefeller's memoirs talks about the policies that the Dulleses, for example, had about the Nazis and perhaps helping the Nazis out. And that doesn't mean that Nazis are running everything, but it means that there are higher groups that want there to be wars. There are higher powers above nation states that can call the shots. And that's exactly what these NGOs, think tanks, foundations are created for, is to kind of be above the nation state level, to try to push policy, try to tell them what to do, particularly for these globalist designs. And you have right there in the chapter called Proud Internationalist, David Rockefeller admitting that that's his goal, that's his job. Now, there might be factions and divisions amongst the elites at times, and they can also join powers like mafia organizations do, or like dons do. Alex has played that clip many times of the Godfather sitting around at the table with the other mafia dons, the five families, and they're talking about whether they're going to start selling drugs or not. What we're talking about is similar to that. It's just on a bigger scale. It's not little sections of New York or the Bronx or whatever. It's global steering committees meeting together to decide global policy, to enforce things like Malthusian policies of depopulation, to enforce things like international socialism, Fabian socialism, et cetera. All of those things have been pushed at a very high level, not just by one family, the Rockefellers, but by many elite families that, for example, Quigley, in his book, lists in many, many chapters. He says the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds. So there's a confederation of these very wealthy, elite, oligarchical families that are smart enough to know how to construct these sort of impenetrable bureaucratic entities that have a kind of a criminal lockdown on the government. And that's why it's so difficult, even with a president who wants to change things, to change things, because there's an entrenched deep state, as everyone calls it. But the point is that that's not a conspiracy theory. And even the New York Times admitted a couple of years ago, thank God for the deep state, right? So now it does exist. It's just, by the way, a good thing. Before, it never existed, and you're crazy if you talk about it. And then it moves into the phase of, well, the deep state does exist, and here's why that's a good thing, right? All these gay journalism, faking gay journalism titles. We actually have so many historical texts, and I studied in undergrad, I one class away from a double major in history and philosophy. So for me, history was very important. We don't know how we got to where we are if we don't understand where we were. So and history repeats. There's always these kinds of cycles. If you read somebody like Spengler, for example, who was very influential on Henry Kissinger's thought, Spengler talks about cycles of history and civilizations having a kind of a organic lifespan. And then they have a flourishing, and then they have a collapse after a while. And usually that collapse has to do with degeneracy, laziness, and the importation of third world or foreign entities to destroy the existing population. Weapons of mass migration, as Kelly Greenhill's book discusses. Well, the elites, the power elite, they know all about this, and they've studied this for many, many, many centuries, perhaps even millennia, if you go back into, you know, old elite families of the black nobility and the Medicis and those kinds of families. They've understood bureaucracy and how to manage big populations. But it's just a treasure, I would say, when we have admissions in the books. And a lot of people say to me, why do you care about so we know there's a New World Order. Who cares what these books say? Well, it's more than that. It's not just admissions. It's also understanding how they rule men, how they create organizations and steer them, co-opt them, and even things like staging elections, throwing elections, how assassinations occur. Because there's been a long history of elite assassinations and government officials being taken out. Most famously, we've just had the Charlie Kirk assassination, which there are, I think, valid questions that should be asked. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that Candace says. It's just there's nothing wrong with asking these questions. If they want to weaponize question asking, it's the very thing that Ben Shapiro said. If you ask these questions, it's only because you're malicious. Well, there's nothing more effeminate than debating and calling into question everybody's motives, because you can't prove or disprove motives unless you have somebody's explicit DMs or emails saying, ha, 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 I have bad motives. I'm going to screw everything up. No, there's no way to prove or disprove motives. So it's a very shady, slimy tactic to say that the only reason Tucker or anybody would raise questions is because they have bad motives and they're funded by Qatar and all this nonsense, when the establishment itself has said many times over in their works, there are confederacies of open elites. It's not unknown. It's open. And so, for example, many writers who do write about this from more of a conspiracy critical perspective, they talk about a WASP Zionist alliance that has occurred in the last several decades. If you go from the time of when Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope and Anglo-American Establishment, that was late 60s, 70s, and then 1982, I think, for Anglo-American Establishment, it kind of leaves off with, yeah, the Rothschilds are involved, but where then? Well, since the Cold War, there's been a WASP Zionist alliance. And that didn't play out that great for the WASPs over time, because they ended up losing a lot of power, especially in the domain of foreign policy, to the APAC Zionist alliance. But in order to understand how we got to that, we have to understand that there was a desire to have a world war. Not because everybody was in on it or everybody understood the full plan, but that the thought was that out of a world war, we could have global governance. If everyone saw how bad a giant global conflict was, then we could get what? League of Nations, World War I. Well, that didn't pass. It failed. The Wilsonian plans didn't come to full fruition. And Wilson was an agent of Colonel Edwin Mandel House, of the Rothschilds, of the British elite banking circles. So this is now on record, not just from Anthony Sutton and people that wrote about that many decades ago, but yet another global elite text admits that Colonel Edwin Mandel House played a key role in maneuvering, blackmailing, and positioning the Woodrow Wilson administration to ensure that America would begin its move towards soft socialism, Fabian socialism, capitalistic socialism. And it was very crucial to include and utilize figures like the Dulles brothers, Bill Donovan, and others. So when we talk about this book, Old Boys, which I'm going to be lecturing through the whole text on my channel on YouTube, if you want to see the full lectures, you can go follow me there, is that the beginning of the American superstructure of intelligence is not necessarily OSS. It's the World War I era of the inquiry. And this included key figures like Colonel Edwin Mandel House, John Maynard Keynes, the famed Fabian socialist economist, even though he was not a member of their society. He is the preeminent economist for the world, the Western world, for the 20th century. Most institutions, most economic thinkers, you know, New York Times writer people, et cetera, they are of the Keynesian ethos. They believe in the good of that war can actually help stimulate the economy, that printing money can stimulate the economy, et cetera. All of these principles that are opposed to, you know, Austrian economics, et cetera. Keynesianism is what dominates. And all of the intelligence operative founders, for the most part, of the OS, of the inquiry, OSS, CIA, were Keynesians. They were Fabian socialists in their economic ideology, even if they didn't become a member of some society. They had this ideology. And so it was Colonel Edwin Mandel House, according to Burton Hirsch, that dominated the Woodrow Wilson administration. And thus, British Secret Intelligence Service operatives were already working in the West, already working to make sure that Woodrow Wilson pushed his 14 points, et cetera, all the Wilsonian principles at the behest of the Royal Society Rothschild elites. That's who was really wanting this operation to go through. That's why we get the Federal Reserve. It's these people. It's Colonel Edwin Mandel House that pushed Woodrow Wilson to be a supporter of the Federal Reserve. And this is all Keynesian. It is the inquiry that dominates the Paris Peace Commission of 1919. And this is where people like Bill Donovan, people like Alan Dulles, the Dulles brothers, et cetera, they begin to get their start here. And they are members of a famous law firm called Sullivan and Cromwell. So the first several chapters of Burton Hirsch's book deal with the history of Sullivan and Cromwell, British intelligence, Woodrow Wilson, et cetera, and all these figures kind of beginning this push towards America's move away from isolationism into internationalism. What did David Rockefeller say in his chapter? I'm a proud internationalist. In other words, America needs to be involved, not just in every big global conflict, but needs to become an empire to police the world, to control the world, to run the world. And the problem is that when you move into that imperial ethos, this usually drags down the economy in the West or in the hub of the empire. It's not always necessarily a drag. It can be successful. Byzantium, for example, lasted. It's the longest lasting empire, the Eastern Roman Empire. But what happened was it opened the doors. It opened the doors to the Muslims. And you had the fall of Byzantium to Islam when it became a uniate Roman Catholic power, opening its doors to the Muslims, famously.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
In Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. We are discussing the book, The Old Boys, an official Council on Foreign Relations historian's take on the origins of the OSS and CIA and even the pre-war intelligence period of World War One of the inquiry. We were talking about the infamous figure of Colonel Edwin Mandel House, who, by the way, wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator about how a back channel, backdoor handler could control and cajole the president into doing what the secretive confederacy of shadowy people wanted done. So we're naming names. We're talking about people. And keep in mind, Burton Hirsch is not a conspiracy theorist. He's a little bit on the left, you could say, historian from the Aspen Institute and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And this book is based on over 100 declassified texts. So much like Quigley or something like that, this is not in any stretch of the imagination a conspiracy text. It's all based on official documents, cables, et cetera, declassified papers. The book begins going into the history of the relationship between the Dulles brothers, Sullivan and Cromwell, and various big geopolitical operations. And the reason that law firms play a key role here is that these institutions are very interested in lawfare. As we know, for example, in Alex's travails, what he's had to deal with in terms of lawfare, this is really just the old CIA model of not just lawfare as attacking individuals, but writing international law so that certain companies, corporations, and entities can get around it so that they have an advantage. So if you're wealthy enough, if you're powerful enough, if you're a CIA-connected law firm like Sullivan and Cromwell was back in the days of the Dulles brothers, then you have the ability to, for example, create the Panama Canal. And that's exactly what was one of their first operations, was creating legally the Panama Canal using Sullivan and Cromwell. Another figure who came to prominence in these circles was a person named William Bullitt, and B-U-L-L-I-T-T. Bullitt was an early intelligence operative and ambassador, the first ambassador under the Wilson era up into FDR to the Soviets. And he pushed for the U.S. to recognize the Soviet Union. He pushed for a deal with Lenin that would allow the West and the U.S. to recognize the Bolshevik government. And in turn, Lenin would have to give up certain things like abandoning the persecution of the expatriate white Russians and end certain blockades. This ended up falling through, but you can begin to see that this was, again, a push when there was a Rockefeller Center-run Bolshevik revolution that was all run out of New York, according to Anthony Sutton. And what we get from the Burton Hirsch book is essentially a vindication of what Anthony Sutton said, that the Bolshevik revolution was run out of Wall Street, not just by WASP corporations and banks and companies, but also by Zionist banking interests, including the Warburgs, the Schiffs, and others, and entity and operatives like William Bullitt, who himself was a Jewish believer, or at least in some sense, he was maternally from his matrilineal descent was Jewish. I don't know how serious he was about it. But again, we noticed that there's an often push for communism and socialism by individuals with this kind of an attitude. And although this failed and the League of Nations failed, you can see that the circles of Bullitt, the circles of Edwin Mandel House, and Bullitt worked directly with Colonel House. Bullitt also spent a lot of time in gallivanting around with Sigmund Freud. You can see the circles and the ideology at work here. Again, that's also the circles of Tavistock. Tavistock employed some of the ideologies of Sigmund Freud, some of the ideas of Freud. And another figure in the inquiry circles, probably the most famous figure in these circles of the pre-OSS-CIA intelligence apparatus, was Walter Lippmann. And Lippmann wasn't just known for his intelligence stuff. He was or his Tavistock affiliation. He was the creator of the founder of Public Opinion. His early book was Public Opinion and How to Steer and Craft Public Opinion so that it would support any of the war efforts that the elite wanted, particularly the Rothschild Zionist elite wanting America to participate in World War I and World War II, but also all the way down to today's Tavistock studies on convincing people to accept the transgender agenda. And if you get deep into Tavistock, I mean, they're deeply involved in the critical race theory stuff. They have branches in Michigan, at Michigan University, that were pioneering studies on CRT, pioneering anti-white studies, etc. All of that comes out of Tavistock and these individuals. The book moves on to discuss, even after the failure of the League of Nations, these same entities turning again to figure out a way to create international bodies and institutions that could supposedly save the world from war. So the false, push for peace isn't really about that. It's about creating international entities and organizations that benefit these oligarchical elites like the Rockefeller Foundation, et cetera. And the Rockefellers make up a significant part of the next several chapters because while Bill Donovan, the original choice man for running the OSS together with the British intelligence operatives that came and helped set that up, Bill Donovan began as a Rockefeller Foundation worker. He was an official sort of representative attaché person who was involved in missions to send food supplies in various conflict zones. And then he gets recruited by J.P. Morgan to go in to meet with Lloyd George, the famous Labour Fabian Socialist Prime Minister in the U.K., who was working at the behest of Lionel Curtis and the Fabian Socialists and the Rothschilds to push socialism in the U.K. Well, that ended up impressing a lot of people. And although Donovan didn't immediately get appointed to a high-level position, Herbert Hoover was impressed with him but appointed him to a lesser position in the Philippines. But this allowed him to get more intelligence experience and more of his adventurism and whatnot. And eventually he gets promoted to being the head of the OSS, appointed to the head of that. And this is at a period, too, when we're supposedly in the midst of, the dangers of Nazi Germany. There's all of this threat. And it turns out the Dulles brothers, not only are they aiding and supporting the financiers of Hitler, like Halmar Schacht, Fritz Thyssen, and others, who was part of the United Steel cartel, people like Albert Vogler. It turns out the Dulles brothers all end up supporting and doing law work to help not just the people around Tiny Mustache Man, but also Franco. Now you might think, well, people are beginning to popularize and think that Hitler's a good guy now and they're fans of all that. Well, the Dulles brothers are, first of all, they're not Christian. They're not into any kind of like really bathed kind of, right-wing politics. They're really just power political players, and they see the the cause of Hitler as something that really isn't worth America getting involved in. So they had a kind of an America First view, and America First at that time just simply meant not being involved in foreign conflicts and not fighting in World War II. But the problem is that they're not some sort of based anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist law firm. They're actually pro-Zionist. So you could be both. You could be aiding and supporting the rise of Hitler and working at the Schroeder Bank and working at these other banks that helped to fund and aid Hitler, and also supporting Zionism. And I point this out quite often. You know, some months ago, I was in the studio with Alex, and I talked about the dual appeasement strategy that the British elites had to goad Hitler into attacking because they wanted World War II to happen. And on Twitter, it just erupted in a firestorm. There was several, if you total it up, there was a few millions of views. And just thousands and thousands of the Nazi bots, the botsies on Twitter coming after me, attacking me, all the neo-pagan retards are coming at me. Why? Well, because it's impossible, because Hitler arrested a couple Rothschilds, seized a few of their properties in Austria and their banks. And so there's no way that there could be establishment support for Hitler. Well, here's another book admitting that the Dulles law firm of Sullivan and Cromwell, that they were helping all of the pro-Franco, pro-fascist, pro-Hitler law firms, and they were also pro-Zionist. And in fact, when people complained about Dulles, he would just simply say, well, I've aided and supported all kinds of Jewish Zionist and banking interests. And if you really get into this, There's not a real conflict here, because even Hitler and the Nazis early on in the Havara Agreement supported the exporting of Jews to Palestine. And so Hitler was actually pro-Zionist. He wanted Jews to leave. He thought that would be better for them. And so the cartel system that existed in Germany at that time, the Dulles brothers saw this as a great means to step in. And because Germany was in debt, the German economy was pretty bad, the Weimar economy was bad, the Dulles brothers also saw an economic situation here that we could step in. If we fund a lot of this, we'll have a huge stake in the future of Germany. And so Kurt Schroeder, the banker, was working hand in hand together with the Dulleses, as they also supported a homeland for the Jews in Palestine. Pro-Zionist. In fact, Dulles says that he was an acquaintance of and a supporter of Chaim Weizmann and his Zionist project. So the Warburgs, Kuhn and Loeb, etc., they were at that time opposing Hitler, but Sullivan and Cromwell, Alan Dulles and others were actually working together to, for the Rothschilds, get the land and the banks that were seized in Austria by Hitler, to get that back for the Rothschilds. So the story goes much deeper than good guy, bad guy. People always want to try to portray this as, well, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? It's a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of power players trying to get a hold of corporations and companies. And why was this? Well, it turns out that they understood there was a war coming, and whoever could have a stake in those countries in the coming post-war period would then be able to rebuild, and it would be a whole new market that was created. In fact, Sutton has a whole chapter discussing that the New York corporate firms, Wall Street firms, and Jewish banking firms understood that when there was a Bolshevik revolution, this would open up Russia to being rebuilt by the West to huge corporate power and banking power, to huge markets, in other words. So it's not just about, wars are not just fought for good guy, bad guy ideologies, and we're saving the homeland against the invaders. Wars are actually fought in the modern era for cartels. And that's what Burton Hirsch admits in the first several chapters of his book, is that German cartels had a huge impetus and motivation for there to be a war. And so they were all involved in eventually hopping on to support Hitler and the war effort. Not everyone. For example, the Warburgs and the Schiffs, Kuhn and Loeb, some of those interests did oppose Hitler. But it doesn't follow from that that there were no Western elite Wall Street corporate banking interests supporting Hitler, because there were. Again, this backs up another one of the books by Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. So this is a Hudson Institute writer writing about this. And here's a CFR guy writing about it and admitting it. Yeah, sure. Of course, there was a lot of support from the Dulles brothers, who represented not just Hitler associated corporations and cartels, but also Franco's corporations and businesses. And they did this indirectly. And that's probably because some of them were fascist. I mean, there were plenty of people in the British establishment, the Malthusian sort of British elites. The king himself at one point, Wallace Simpson, a lot of those people favored the Nazi ideology. And again, this is not a good guy, bad guy scenario. This is all just the reality of the power struggle and power situations. Some of these people, by the way, eventually went to go write Hollywood screenplays. They wrote a lot of the films in the 1930s and 40s. In fact, in my third book, Esoteric Hollywood 3, I go into some of the circles of British intelligence that sent screenwriters to Hollywood. One of the women was named Helen McInnes, and she literally wrote several films for British intelligence to convince Americans to get involved in the war effort. Now, she didn't write every Hitchcock film, but you can see in the case of some of the Hitchcock films, Hitchcock was in the quarter circle pushing in Hollywood also to get America involved in World War II. So films like Saboteur in 1942, where you have Nazi networks in the U.S. sabotaging and committing, espionage, et cetera, which actually there is some truth to that. There was actually a network of German espionage in the U.S. Under the guidance of a guy named Heinrich Albert, together with Franz von Papen and a guy named Gerhard Vestrick. They were running and involved in nationwide assassination and espionage operations on the part of Germany. And I think eventually Vestrick and I think Albert were expelled from the U.S. But that's because they were also, at least in the case of Vestrick, was working with the Dulles brothers. So this is also the birthplace of Operation Paperclip as well, right? So Paperclip plays a role in this. And Galenorg, which is Reinhard Galen's European espionage network for the Nazis. Once the Nazis lose, it's the CIA just sort of takes over those networks. And that's the origin of today's German BND. The German intelligence is originally the Galenorg network. That doesn't mean that today's German intelligence are Nazis. They're totally insane. Like, just like all of the other European, networks, they're all just totally basically, cucked, tranny supporting lunatics now. And that's where we are, is that, you can say what you will about World War II. I'm not pro-fascist, but what ended up winning wasn't Western capitalism. What ended up winning World War II and what ended up becoming the basis for the EU was Fabian socialism. That's socialism combined with Western capitalism. That's what's also being pushed, not just by people like Woodrow Wilson and, Colonel Edwin Mandel House and these figures back at the time of World War I and, the establishment of the Federal Reserve, but also people like Louis Brandeis. So the Supreme Court was very infested with open socialist judges at this time. You had a vice president who was a Fabian socialist as well, communist openly. So these networks, these infiltrators, these are all very real, but even Hollywood can exaggerate this, right? There's films like Above Suspicion, which I think was written by Helen McInnes, the British intelligence operative, Reunion in France, Foreign Correspondent, even Hitchcock's Notorious in 1946. These are all basically propaganda films. And I'm not saying they're bad films. Many of them are excellent. They're very well made, very well done films. But they're also part of the propaganda war effort. And, going back after reading a lot of this material and watching a lot of 1940s, 50s, films, like you can see how many of these films are also propaganda. It's so transparent. Nowadays, of course, you go back in time and people had no clue about how sophisticated propaganda was. But long story short is that, Chase Bank, all of these entities are connected through the Dulleses to the Schroeder Trust and the Swiss Agreement. And this is where that long rumored legend story of Nazi gold and stolen loot being somehow spirited out to Switzerland and Swiss banks and whatnot. Well, Burton Hirsch's book actually touches on that, and that has to do with the Dulleses helping these groups get around international laws and blockades, because America had economic sanctions against Germany. And the Rockefeller Investment Banking Combine, which was a combination of Avery Rockefeller, Kurt von Schroeder, and the Dulles brothers, aiding them to legally get around certain international laws so that corporations could still, like Royal Dutch Shell, support Hitler in the war effort. And any time that Alan Dulles would be questioned about it, he would just simply say, well, I helped out Jewish bankers too. So he didn't really deny it. He just said, well, look, I help everybody. So that's, you know, we're a law firm. That's what we do. But to get around the sanctions, to in some way, you know, take some of this, get some of this Nazi loot, spirited away. Nobody knows exactly what happened to all that or where it went. It's a kind of a famous historical legend. Well, my guess would be that has something to do with, what Burton Hirsch is talking about here. And this is not antithetical to Zionist interests either. So people think, oh, well, this is, so you're just talking about how Nazis are bad and you won't talk about, no, we're saying that there's power elites. Sometimes they disagree. Even amongst the British power elite, you had a faction that were Arabophiles who were obsessed with Islam. They loved Arab and Islamic culture. People like T.E. Lawrence, people like Gertrude Bell, people like St. John Philby, people, you know, even amongst the Royal Society elite, the Lionel Curtises and these kinds of people. But you also had people who were pro-Zionist in the Rothschild circles amongst those elites. And even some of the spies like T.E. Lawrence, sometimes he sounds like a rabid Zionist and sometimes he sounds like a rabid, you know, Islamic anti-Zionist. So with these kinds of power players, they can flip sides. They can, you know, flip flop. They can support both sides. That's also a possibility. People overlook the possibility of funding and supporting both sides. And, you know, just because one family or branch of Rothschilds gets arrested in Germany by Hitler, it doesn't follow from that that the Rothschilds aren't also involved at some level through international banking interests in wanting a world war. It just simply means that Hitler started doing things that people who originally goaded him on didn't necessarily want him to do. Just like Saddam Hussein might be supported and aided by the U.S., and the CIA, he's trained by the CIA, and then he comes to power, and, well, he starts doing things off script, and, well, it's time to get rid of Saddam Hussein. So all these things are possibilities. It doesn't follow from this that there was no Western banking corporate elite support for Hitler, or that there wasn't Hitler support for Zionist interests. In fact, the nation state of Israel, you could argue, couldn't even have been established. There wasn't even a justification for the United Nations recognition of Israel in 1948, had it not been for Hitler in World War II. I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying that's the reality of the justification for the establishment of the nation state of Israel and its acceptance by the United Nations in 1948. That's all because of what Hitler did in World War II in the 1940s. So the pressure, is from all sides here, and there's not good guys and bad guys necessarily. I'm not saying there's not heroes in wartime. I'm just saying, like, to look at big scale 20th century geopolitics and to try to figure out the good guy versus the bad guy is just a very naive, simplistic, you know, approach. And it overlooks the fact that, you know, communists in Russia killed something like 60 million people, right? Okay, and many of them were Orthodox Christians. There were dozens and dozens more millions believed to be killed by Mao than even in Russia. So if there's 30, 60, 90 million people being killed over there, oh, but the only thing that matters in the West is the 6 million or so allegedly in the Holocaust. Well, why are those lives more mystically valuable than all the others? And I'm not saying there weren't Jews killed. I think Jews were killed. But I'm saying there's nothing about that DNA that makes them more powerful or more mystically special than the Christians that died in Russia. So democide is a problem all around. And there's no, it's just absurd to pick one group to say, oh, they're the only group that really matters. The rest of the millions of people that died, they're lesser. That's all Israeli first propaganda. That's what Ben Shapiro represents. I've asked for years to debate Ben Shapiro. Of course, he's not going to debate me. He's not going to debate Alex or anybody who would give him real pushback. Ben Shapiro is a dual citizen, and he represents a foreign interest. And his time is passing away. People are tired of all of that propaganda, and they're waking up to America being put into the primary position. This is Jay's Analysis. I'm Jay Dyer. You can go watch my stuff on my channel.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com, 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.